Bernie and Sid in the Morning on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
To the city, there's a whistle up above, and people pushing, people shouving. They try to look pretty. What do you mean they don't? They don't look pretty. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. On 77 WABC. Check us out on the 77 WABC app. You won't regret it, folks. One hell of a day of programming. You'll stay entertained. You'll stay informed, and you'll probably laugh a lot. Is what happens. Here at 77 WABC, because we like to think we have senses of humor. And, you know, we need a sense of humor in these days. I mean, with all this horrific, horrible news out there, just traversing the globe in like nanoseconds and then trying to withdraw the news as soon as it's proven false, or not trying to withdraw the reports because, well, people are dishonest, ladies and gentlemen, and, well, I think you know who I'm talking about. Well, one of the more less significant but more tragic events over the weekend, of course, was that we talked about it, Sidney. How are you, Sid?
I'm great. How are you on this Monday morning?
I could be a lot worse. The traffic didn't, no accidents, no stoppages, no out on the, Gowanus Expressway at 4 o'clock in the morning?
No, not today. Thank God. Freddie, who did suffer a gash over his forehead after a fall outside of Healy's Bar on Friday night, he was there early. We had a safe trip in. He's got two Rosenberg trips this morning because my beautiful daughter, Ava, she's heading to Mexico. And so it's going back into Rockaway to pick her up, take her to the airport. So it's a very busy Rosenberg morning for the great Freddie. And everything is fine. Everything is great. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have to ask the question. Why is Ava going to Mexico?
She's going on vacation, actually. Her friend, her boyfriend slash friend and his family from England, Toby and his parents. You know, she's still very close with his parents. And this was set up weeks and weeks ago. She's going to college, by the way, in about 3 or 4 weeks. So 2 weeks in Mexico, and then she comes home for about 2 weeks, and then we jet set to England to take her to college. So the next couple of weeks, very tough. Tough at home, very emotional with Ava about to say goodbye for a couple of years.
Wow, yeah, that is emotional. And going to Mexico also is kind of emotional, but I'm sure her boyfriend and their family, his family, they have, they've scoped out the joint and it's pretty safe and that there will be no problems, no problems whatsoever with the cartels or, you know, people getting shot up. I mean, Mexico, the perception is that Mexico is a completely and totally lawless state. But again, there are parts of Mexico that are shut off. And they're not subjected to these types of things.
Yeah, that's where they're going. This is they're very. I've told you about this before. Very affluent, very influential. In fact, they actually make all the armored vehicles. Ava's boyfriend's family. They got a huge warehouse in South Carolina and England, and they make all the armored vehicles for all of the dignitaries and folks around the world that have to travel to Germany, to England, to France. You name it. And they got a lot of guns. So they'll be fine. They're going to a place like you're talking about, which is not inhabited by cartel members and those types of folks, a very fancy place. So they'll be fine. And like I said, 2 weeks there, and then it's time to get serious and go to college.
Yeah, and that is where the emotional part comes in. Well, good luck with all that, Sidney Arthur Rosenberg.
Thank you.
The tragic news that I was about to allude to here is the death of Anne Heche. We talked about it last week. You said it is a big deal, a serious deal, and the poor thing, she passed away, for God's sakes. Thank God she didn't take anybody with her on the way out. But the fact remains, she died from her burns, and it wasn't until she was taken off life support Well, she was taken off life support after an organ donor match was found, essentially, is when she was taken off. So people will benefit from her passing. That's the good news. The bad news is the poor thing, for all her troubles, is, she's gone. So that's a terrible thing.
Well, I mean, I guess.
I'm sad because...
You're more sad than I am. It didn't really. I mean, the worst part of this whole story is her mother. I read this in the Post on Saturday. Her mother had like five children, and four of them are dead. And usually the parent doesn't outlive the child. And like 80% of Anne Heche's mother's kids are dead, and she's alive. I think Anne again becomes the fourth one to die. But, you know, look, she had a wild and troubled life. She never really got over the whole Ellen DeGeneres breakup. She never really did, and loved Ellen DeGeneres, I think, to the day that she died. But, you know, look, it was a tragic event, but it was fueled by alcohol and cocaine, and I know it could have been me. I was arrested for DUIs and all that stuff, so I'm not on my high horse. I'm not killing her. But the truth is that this didn't happen by accident. She caused it, and she's lucky she didn't kill somebody else. So we move on.
I guess I was unaware of how damaged she was, how close to death she was last week, based on, because they were talking charges, this, that, the other. I didn't realize again how hurt she was in this fire. And you actually see her in the videotape. She's sitting up when they, you know, when the EMS comes to get her. She's sitting up. She seems to be speaking. Anyway, the next thing you know is as she's found dead. So rest in peace, Anne Heche. And, you know, there's a lot of news out there. Of course, we're getting to the Trump stuff momentarily. But a lot of great, really good news, you know, to the effect it regards sports. And you will have the happy details later on. But the New York Mets continue with this streak, this unbelievable winning streak. And the Yankees lost last night. The Mets... Right?
Yeah, no, the Yanks, another bad weekend. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, and they've just been really miserable dating back to about 2 weeks before the All-Star break. But to your point, Bernie, the Mets, they just don't lose. I mean, Scherzer pitched well on Friday. They did lose that game, but DeGrom lights out on Saturday. Chris Bassett, a shutout on Sunday. The Mets are now 35 games over 500. Only the Los Angeles Dodgers and all of baseball have a better record than the Mets. The Mets now better record than the Yankees, the Astros, all those clubs. And the Braves, obviously, they got a 5.5-game lead. And they are just winning every night. And again, it goes back to pitching. I made this point last week. They are 5 deep. Carrasco will pitch tonight for the Mets. But from Scherzer to DeGrom to Bassett to Walker to Carrasco. And now the Mets start a huge, this is huge, 4-game set in Atlanta against the second-place Braves later on tonight. 5.5-game lead. So it would bode well for the Mets to win a couple of these games and basically put the Braves away. A 4-game set in Atlanta against the Braves with Carrasco on the mound tonight. If you're a Met fan, the next 4 days, must-watch baseball.
No doubt about it. I'll be watching, I can tell you that. Listen, speaking of watching, I know you were at the Liberty game last night at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, I was.
New York Liberty,
yes.
Women's basketball.
Yes, I was.
They actually clinched the spot, a playoff spot. And so tell me what the atmosphere was like there at Madison Square Garden when they won and clinched this playoff spot. How happy, how ecstatic, how over the moon was Sid Rosenberg?
I was gay, actually.
Yo, that's funny right there. That is funny.
Oh, come on. So,
I know, right? But nevertheless, that was out there. You know, I'm looking for sports reports on the Mets, and I'm subjected to that. But whatever, I guess. Do people watch the WNBA?
Nobody watches. I mean, it's such a minimal amount of people. Such a minimal amount. But the other big story, forget about the Liberty besides the Mets, of course, and Joe Nolan, I know, was listening right now, was the injury to Jets quarterback, the Wilson kid, Zach Wilson. Hurt.
Yeah.
No one even touched him against the Eagles on Friday night. Now, initially, they thought maybe a torn ACL, done for the year. I was at Cali's with a bunch of Jet fans, my neighbor Billy and Louie across the street, and they were like, oh, my God, come on, first preseason game he's done. As it turns out, he'll only miss 2 to 4 weeks. What that means is week one against the Baltimore Ravens, look for Joe Flacco to be the starting quarterback for the Jets and not Zach Wilson. So, again, the nightmare history of the Jets dating back to Joe Namath, the 1969, continues with an injury to the second-year quarterback in the very first preseason game.
And I would guess that they're underplaying the injury right now. That would be my speculation.
Yep, could be.
But what do I know? Also, before we move on again, out in your hood, this is a story that just tore away at my heart. It was this yellow cab driver, not some, some fake, livery gypsy cab. This guy was legit. I mean, yellow, he had the hack license, he had everything. He was beaten to a pulp, and he died in, guess where? Far Rockaway. I mean, it was just awful.
Yep.
Five black kids beat him to death, and he's black himself. And it was, they show pictures of his wife and of his daughters. He had four daughters. And by all accounts, just a beautiful guy. And so that was awfully sad that, just really, you had Fernando Mateo, you had this guy Spiros Drakos from Big Apple Taxi. They're putting up a $15,000 reward for information. So please, if you have any information, of course, pass it along to the authorities. This yellow cab, this is sick. They got to catch these little animals who don't care a whit for life. Once a callous disregard for life, you have that. Now, tomorrow, back to politics, you have Alaska and Wyoming. You have the primaries. And why is that significant? Well, Wyoming is where Liz Cheney is from, and she is going to get schlonged. She is she's about to get whooped like you can't believe. She's going to be spinning around dizzy, her stupid dad's commercials, not doing squat for her. So I look forward to those reports tomorrow night when they're coming in of how Liz Cheney just was, just unequivocally rejected in the state of Wyoming because of her duplicitous, her double standard. I mean, not double standard, her deviousness regarding the whole January 6th thing because of Trump's vendetta, not vendetta for his dad, for her dad, but the vendetta that her dad had for him, because he killed the Cheneys on the Iraq War, brutally did. And anyway, you have that to look forward to tomorrow night. And let's see. So now we go to the FBI raid itself. I mean, this is reverberating still big time. I mean, we're in the second week now. And it's just by the way, the Bidens and with Hunter, they jetted off for a vacation in South Carolina, at a South Carolina resort. I mean, why? Why was South Carolina? Bill O'Reilly pointed it out last week. South Carolina is like, first of all, I spent a couple of months on South Carolina in a place called Paris Island. And it was in the summertime. It was close to the summertime. It was actually early fall. And it was brutally hot, brutally humid. Not a place you want to go for vacation.
Well, it depends. Wait, they have two gorgeous spots there. I'm sorry. Any time of the year, Myrtle Beach and Hilton Head are some of the nicest resorts in the whole country. I've been to Hawaii over the summer, too. So if they went to one of those, South Carolina makes sense. I don't know where the hell they went, but those two places are gorgeous. But I asked you last week if it was, just convenient or, just by accident they happened to go on vacation the day after the Trump raid and stay away from questions. You said, no, it must have been planned for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. It's one hell of a place to disappear because nobody, really, even those places you mentioned, Myrtle Beach,
Hilton Head,
they're still subjected to this unbelievable, these extremes, these hot and humid extremes. You don't go there.
Well, people go to Florida, Bernie, over the summer. It's more humid there than South Carolina.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense.
It's not the place to me. It's the place. There's gorgeous places in South Carolina. It's the fact they go the day after the Trump raid. That's what stinks to me. It doesn't seem like it's just coincidence.
No, I agree. I agree. But anyway, that's where they are. And, of course, the whole thing could have been handled, the Trump raid, as we spoke about ad nauseum last week. The Trump raid could have been handled with subpoenas. We know that.
Right. I got to ask you a question because on Friday, my Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg, people were blowing up. So Merrick Garland comes out on Thursday. He makes that, he does that press conference. He says nothing. He doesn't clue us in on any reasons or anything. He just says, yes, I signed it, and blah, blah, blah. So Friday, there's a bunch of libs on my Twitter, Bernie, doing victory laps. Oh, how does the crow taste, Sidney? And now I know it came out on Friday that they said that Trump had classified documents, which, by the way, he can declassify at the drop of a hat anytime he wants. Why were people on my Twitter taking a victory run on Friday as if they had Donald Trump doing something illegal?
Well, because they're dishonest. That's what it is. They're completely and totally dishonest. And you're going to find out there was one poll that actually showed that this actually increased Donald Trump's his lead over Ron DeSantis by about 20 points. I mean, and other polls have shown the same thing, that Trump is benefiting from this really disgusting overkill of government, this banana republic style, you know, move that they pulled out there down there in Mar-a-Lago. So, yes, you have that, and it's real bad. Let's see. Today, by the way, is the day after the Dominican Day parade. My Dominicanos, shout out to my Dominicanos. I did not make the parade. Sorry. Sorry to say. But so you have that. I just wanted to do mention because speaking of Fernando Mateo, I love me some Dominicanos. And Jose Alba, he's a Dominicano, and a lot of them. A lot of Dominican pride here in New York City. Used to be the Puerto Ricans were the majority, minority Latino community. It is now the Dominicans is what it is. But, okay, back to this whole raid thing. Here's Bill Bennett. Remember him? He was the education secretary under Ronald Reagan. Listen to what he said. He was on the Sunday morning shows. A lot of audio from the Sunday morning shows, which I'll get to. I don't know if that's a tease or, I'm exhorting you to leave the show. But anyway, this is what Bill Bennett said yesterday. Cut number three, Louie.
The larger picture, very quickly, is a crisis of legitimacy in this country. The liberals, the progressives, feel that Donald Trump is not a legitimate person, not a legitimate candidate, wasn't a legitimate president, and his followers, not much better. Conservatives, on the other hand, believe that by the actions of this government, it has delegitimized itself. The FBI is not what the FBI should be.
Not at all. It is a corrupt. We have to disband the FBI when we retake the House and the Senate. God, man, we have to retake the Senate. And, of course, you remember with Donald Trump, despite the lock her up and put her in jail and all that stuff, he was very, very gentle. I believe I played the clip yesterday. I'm not sure if I did, but I had it. And he was saying to Leslie Stahl last week that, he said it during his administration, but the clip I had was that one where he said, to Leslie Stahl, these are good people. He says, I'm not going to persecute these people. I'm not going to do that. So even though he talked a tough game, he had a pretty gentle heart. And along those lines, here is Congressman and former Green Beret Mike Waltz, again, a Florida congressman, Mike Waltz, on just what I was talking about right now. This is cut number 14, Lou. Cut number 14. Go ahead.
Some of the speculation that's coming out in terms of classified documents there is just ridiculous and irresponsible. I've served in a previous White House before serving in Congress, and the notion that a president of the United States would have some type of nuclear warhead design just sitting around in a box, or even you saw speculation on the Sunday shows today that it could have been the names of Russian sources or images of spy satellites. The president gets finished intelligence. He gets analysis. This kind of speculation is just shaping up to be Russia hoax 2.0, where you're finding irresponsible media outlets with thinly, anonymously sourced information, just throwing this stuff out there. But what's so disturbing is it gets repeated all over the world in foreign news media outlets as though it's fact.
And people who are consuming that news pick it up and run with it. They swallow it. They digest it and repeat it. And it really is very, very disturbing. Once again, I feel horrible for our boy Donald Trump, 45. Feel terrible. Now, of course, the election is way, way off, 2024. But still, it's just that they've come up with something else now. And again, the whole thing I maintained last week, the whole thing was a pretext to get January 6th material to try to use it to get Merrick Garland to charge Donald Trump with a crime so he can't run in 2024. That was the whole point of the opinion, because they know they don't have anything regarding the National Archives, and they don't have anything regarding the January 6th stuff. And so, therefore, it was like a well, there's a Hail Mary. Let's raid this joint and let's see what we can come up with. Hopefully something. We got to come up with something, right? No, well, maybe not. Anyway, we'll get into more of that here on the Bernie and Sid Show. We'll speak to Rich Lowry, the brilliant Rich Lowry, who he wrote a column about just this over the weekend, did Rich Lowry. I read it in Saturday's New York Post. Any special guests, Sidney, that we have this morning?
Yes, actually, the Republican candidate for governor. I think we spoke 100 times this weekend, Lee Zeldin. In fact, I don't want to give too much away, but I will be at a big fundraiser for Lee, and President Trump is going to be there. Me and Danielle are coming. I'll give more details on that when it is. It's a huge, huge deal. It's a lot of money. And it's Zeldin, Trump, and the Rosenbergs. I'm not kidding. And he actually wrote a huge piece in today's New York Post about Kathy Hochul and congestion pricing, how she continues to kill New Yorkers. So we'll talk to Rich Lowry at 7:40 and the great Lee Zeldin coming up at 9:05.
If you keep it where it is, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernie and Sid Show, we're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the Morning on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
It looks as though the House is going to be easy, taking back the Republicans about the House. Senate, different story. Oz in Philadelphia, Herschel down in Georgia. These may not be so easy. What does Jim Jordan predict will happen in the Senate in 2022?
Well, I'm hopeful that we're going to take it back. I mean, you're right, it may be a little tougher. And I don't want to take anything for granted. I learned a long time ago in sports that you never want to be overconfident. You want to
well, especially with Bernie Kosar and the fumble at the 1 yard line. You know that in your state better than anybody.
Yeah, very true. But I was going to get into the Cincinnati Reds and some of the great teams we've had over the past. The big red machine. You had to bring up the Browns, of course. Well taken. We want to campaign confidently. I feel good about the House, but we got to make sure we take our message to the American people over the next, 87, 88 days. But the Senate's a little tougher, but I think we can do that too. We got a great candidate in Ohio, J.D. Vance. We got Herschel in Florida. We got Adam Laxalt in Nevada. We got great candidates that I think can win, and that's what we got to do.
Great Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Classic Ohio. And, of course, that was the great Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan on the Bernie and Sid Show on Friday. He was great. 6:30 on your Monday morning, as Bernie pointed out, Rich Lowry coming up at 7:40 and Lee Zeldin coming up at 9:05. Again, go read page 8, today's New York Post. He writes an editorial about congestion pricing here in New York City as if crime and taxes and dirt and filth and homeless and all these things are not enough to make you want to run out of here. Now it's going to cost most of you an extra $35 a month if you're traveling south of 60th Street because of this congestion pricing deal that she signed off on. So Lee Zeldin runs roughshod on Hochul today. And by the way, both guys on Friday, and we'll play some more of it later on, Jim Jordan out of Ohio and Steve Scalise out of Louisiana, both mentioned Lee Zeldin, and Zeldin will tell us a story, Bernie, coming up when he's on at 9:05, how he walked into he was on the Hill on Friday, walked into the building, and unprovoked, Steve Scalise walked over and talked about his appearance on this show on Friday. So, big things coming up for Bernie and Sid, and of course, big things coming up in November, and actually, I was shocked. Scalise mentioned Garbarino, he mentioned all the local races. I mean, he's like really up on all these things, and yes, Garbarino was all over the place on this show on Friday, so that did piss off some of our listeners because they feel like Garbarino is a rhino, even though Peter King loves him. But both of those guys mentioned Garbarino as a guy that must win Bernard come November.
He must. I mean, we haven't had the primary yet, but, I mean, the Republican has to win. This is the fact that it's even up in the air is scary.
That is, you know, that should be a lock out there in Long Island, but it's not. And, I mean, I don't know who would be the better candidate, somebody, the incumbent in an Andrew Garbarino, or some outsider that we're not, you know, that we're not that familiar
with. Well,
the
outsider, there's a guy that's been on this show. His name is Robert Cornicelli. He's a Republican, a conservative, one of those Joe the Box guys who spends time with real Tina Forte and those types of folks. I mean, a real patriot, a real Donald Trump supporter, and a guy that actually served this country. So he's that guy. But the odds of him beating a guy like Garbarino, as you've mentioned once or twice before, are not very good.
You know, not great at all. No. He's, in fact, he's the underdog for sure, officially polls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this is a year with all kinds of variables. You don't know what's going to happen, and you just pray. You just pray that the person who does get the nomination is the right person in November. And that's what I'm praying for. If it's Garbarino, so be it. We will back him. I will back him to the hilt. Come November and the months leading up to it, the weeks leading up to it, big time. But Steve Scalise, the man is a hero. The man, he's a brilliant guy. He's after getting shot the way he came back, I think this guy is a living American hero, is Steve Scalise. And so I would listen to if he says it's Garbarino. I mean, he's also on some committee to reelect Republicans to the Congress. You know, I would tend to listen to people like him and who they pick as an indicator of who I should pick.
Yeah, no question.
So if he says...
He did say it.
If he says go with... Go ahead.
No, he did say it. We're going to play the audio coming up at 7 o'clock. He mentioned those names specifically, Lee Zeldin, Andrew Garbarino, Nicole Malliotakis. He mentioned all those names. Again, we'll play it coming up at 7. And don't forget, coming up on August the 23rd, you have those special elections. Real Tina Forte running that day. You do have Mark Molinaro running that day. Those are the special elections. And that is coming up next week. And there are some very good Republicans running on that day, too, Bernard, just to point out to the listeners.
Oh, very much so. There's a former cop in the race to take over AOC's seat, AOC can be vulnerable, I guess. She's done nothing in the district. A lot of people are upset because she's an absent congresswoman. She's more interested in makeup tips and fake handcuff arrests, stuff like that. So she is vulnerable. A lot of people paying attention to that. But the ex-cop, he has a great chance, as does, I guess, Tina Forte. I don't know. I really don't know if Tina Forte is way too over the top to be taken seriously or not. I just don't know. I don't know if people who are paying attention are listening to what she's saying or if they're going with their gut and saying, wow, this lady's a little bit on the wacky side. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I hope whatever they're thinking is the right thing, because that would be one hell of a deal, is to flip that seat from AOC to Republican after Joe Crowley held it for so many years.
Yep.
That would be one hell of a slot. So she's coming up on the show, I understand, Wednesday, correct?
Yes. Tina will be on the show Wednesday at 9:25. She helped me promote the book yesterday, which was very, very nice. And Mark Molinaro, again, running in that 19th congressional district, a friend of yours and I from the days he ran for governor back in 2018 against Andrew Cuomo. He's another guy that must win on August 23rd. Make sure you're voting up there for Mark Molinaro. So there you have it. We got two great guests coming up. We got Beat Bernie coming up, Lydia Reports, and all the news of the day, sports news. You got it right here on the Monday edition, Burn of Bernie and Sid.
I like what I hear, Sidney. I like what I hear. Traffic and sports is coming up next, but right now it is time for that 77 WABC clip of the day. Listen to the Cats Roundtable with John Catsimatidis, the great John Catsimatidis, every Sunday morning starting at 8, telling both sides of the story. Here, John talks congestion pricing with Governor David Patterson.
There you go.
Congestion pricing? They want to punish everybody in New York? They want to glom more money from New Yorkers? What say you?
Well, John, let's start with a little history. People moved where the jobs are. And that's why New York City has always been the real economic capital of this country. The problem is when you start driving people out of the city with these incredibly high prices that they're going to charge in congestion pricing, you are going to reignite the problem we had during the pandemic, that business leaders and workers have learned they can get their job done without coming to the geographic workplace.
This is Sid on Sports. Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Talking about those red-hot Mets, Lisa Ganji, happy recap, another series win. Chris Bassitt, scoreless baseball yesterday. And I tell you, the Mets made some deals before the trade deadline. Naquin's had a bunch of home runs. How about the former Pittsburgh Pirate, Daniel Vogelbach? That's right, the fat kid. Another home run for the Mets yesterday.
Vogelbach's 0 for 2 today. And he drives one to deep right field. Back goes Castellanos. Picks a look and it's out of here. Daniel Vogelbach with his third home run to mend his 15th of the year.
Gary Cohen on the call, SNY. The Mets are now 35 games over 500. They've won 17 out of 20, just red hot. Lead the Braves by 5.5, and they start a monster four-game set in Atlanta later on tonight against those aforementioned Braves. Carlos Carrasco on the mound for the Mets. Spencer Strider makes the start for Atlanta. Big 4 days for the Mets. Another weekend, another series loss for the Yankees. They are just drowning. Last night, 3-0 loss to the Red Sox. They lose 2 out of 3 in Boston. They still lead the Blue Jays by 10 games atop the AL East, and they start a set against Tampa Bay in the Bronx later on tonight. It's a 3-game set. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees. And again, the Jets, they're through a preseason starter against the Eagles on Friday. Their quarterback injured, Zach Wilson. Turns out it's not as bad as we originally thought. The Jets are saying 2 to 4 weeks. Jets play again, by the way, Sunday. They'll take on the Bengals. Excuse me. They play Monday against the Falcons. It looks like right now, though, week one against the Ravens, it'll be Joe Flacco, if not Mike White. No Zach Wilson. Sports brought to you by the great Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Lee Zeldin coming up at 9:05 with sports. I'm Sid.
On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
There we go. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen. Download the app. You won't regret it. Also heard simulcast on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And, we talked a lot about a lot of different things here, of course. The big thing, of course, dominating political discourse is the raid out there in, the raid down in Mar-a-Lago, Trump's official residence. That's his official residence. That ain't some vacation home. That's where the man lives. And, it was pretty disgusting. It's, everybody's talking about third world tactics, banana republic type of mentality that they're developing down there in the White House with the imbecile in chief. Not really understanding what's going on, or maybe he does understand. I don't know. If you listen to Sid, he understands. If you listen to Bill O'Reilly, he doesn't understand. But either way, it's really dangerous.
I think it's a little bit of both. I do. I think that there are times when he is completely out of it. There's no question. And has to be told what's going on. But to just constantly not hold him accountable, I think is ridiculous, too. It's a little bit of both. But don't tell me that he's just senile, not evil. He's a little bit of both.
Little bit. We'll get right back to that. But in the meantime, last week we spoke about the fact that there is now polio in New York State. Polio has been found. They typically drain our sewage plants for various diseases. They can gauge how much the population is taking in terms of drugs by doing a test on our sewage, believe it or not. And they've been doing that, just that. And, of course, they found it in upstate New York in the Hudson Valley, the Hudson, like halfway up the Hudson before the past the Tappan Zee Bridge, but before the next one on the way up. You know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. But this was Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul talking about this. And this is serious because a lot of people are getting this polio. A lot of innocent people are getting it, unsuspectingly, unwittingly. And it's a horrible thing. People are getting paralyzed by they have polio. We thought the polio scourge was done. Well, something went wrong. Not sure what it is. In fact, I do have an idea of what it is, but I don't think Kathy Hochul does. This is Kathy Hochul talking about, cut 23, Lou, the polio thing.
There is a presence in the New York City wastewater. This is something we're monitoring closely. We're working closely at the federal, local, and state level, all engaged hands-on. And we want to make sure that we take all the steps we can at this time and sound the alarm right now to New Yorkers. Be sure that your vaccines have occurred. Be sure they're updated. And that's our best defense against the spread of polio.
That's our best defense. Well, I beg to differ if my friend, our friend, Sid's good friend, Dr. Mark Siegel, has anything to say about this. He was on Catch Roundtable last week talking about this very thing. By the way, the latest is they found cases of polio in Brooklyn. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, in Brooklyn. Last week it was up in the Hudson Valley. And that is what Dr. Mark Siegel focused on. And this is what he said, Dr. Mark Siegel said, about finding polio here in New York State. Play that clip, please, Lou.
How about polio? Listen to this. You know that polio is actually a national security problem? You know why? Because this polio outbreak in Rockland County came from a live virus vaccine, and I'm wondering how it got here because Mexico, for example, gives that live virus vaccine out still, and for several weeks afterwards you shed the virus. Wonder if it came that way. You know, and what's interesting about that is back in the old days, 1903, when my grandfather came here, you know what happened then? We actually used to check people and hold them up and do tests. Did they have TB? Did they have this? Did they have that? Now people just waltz across the border. Travelers come here unchecked. You never know what people are bringing in, right?
Right. Exactly right. And what they're bringing in is polio. They're bringing in all kinds of tropical diseases, exotic diseases that we don't know anything about. And this is the first case of just that. The first case is that we're seeing of just that. They're allowing all these folks in, and they haven't been properly vaccinated. It's really technical, but maybe we'll get Dr. Siegel on at some point to explain it to
tomorrow.
Us. Tomorrow. Dr. Yes. Siegel, tomorrow, yeah, because this is...
How's that for quick?
I like that. I like what I hear. No, this is really serious stuff, and part of what people warned about when it comes to having open borders. People coming in from across the globe with all these exotic diseases, no vaccines, no nothing, and yet here we are. We're suffering probably the initial stages of a polio, a polio plague. I don't know exactly how to describe it. But again, just another unintended consequence, which it shouldn't have been unintended because it made sense all along that this could possibly happen, that these illegals could be bringing in this hideous polio disease.
And more of those illegals are coming in today. The fight continues. And I know you're going to play the Patterson stuff, which is great. But, you know, we've been saying it for days, too. I know last week I actually drew the ire of a lot of the listeners here because I actually said on the air that I kind of like this, even though it's my city. I kind of like this. F Eric Adams. I'm glad somebody is putting Eric Adams in his place. And he continues to bitch. And Abbott says, hey, sorry, buddy, we get these every day, thousands. What you've had in 3 months, we do in about 15 minutes in Texas. So if you really want to get pissed, start yelling at your leader, the man you described yourself as when he called himself the Biden of Brooklyn, and stop directing your anger towards me. And I love it. Abbott, to me, is my new hero. He's moving closer and closer to Ron DeSantis as the nation's best governor.
Absolutely brilliant move on his part. Plus, Governor Ducey in Arizona, actually, he's building his own wall. in Arizona as well. So the two of them doing what they have to do to protect the nation, because in the White House, we don't have anybody looking out for, number one, Americans and America. We don't have it. And it's pretty damn sad. Here was Eric Adams over the weekend, once again, talking about this, attacking Governor Abbott on this whole deal. This is cut number 25, Lou, please. 23,
well, first,
excuse me.
We are going to fulfill our... Why has he targeted New York City? We have done nothing to Texas. Why has he turned this into a political statement instead of a personal statement with people who are seeking assistance?
Because it's going to get a lot of attention, you idiot. That's why.
Not only that, but he's a blue mayor in a blue state. He's the guy that welcomes stuff like this. He's the man that says, this is what New York was built on, bringing these folks in. He doesn't care if you're illegal or not. Why would Eric Adams say, why is he picking on me, when you're kind of the face of this whole movement?
Exactly right. I mean, he's the perfect, you, Eric Adams, is the perfect, you're the perfect person to be targeted and to be singled out. I mean, somebody, you know, they did it with Abbott, and then they realized, you know what, I think maybe we'll get some more traction. Not Abbott, what's her name down in D.C.? The black female mayor.
Yes, what's her name again? Bowser.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Exactly right. So, yeah, so that's why they decided, you know what, we'll get more traction and more attention if we send them up to New York. And they're right. The way this guy's been squealing like a pig with a nail through his damn foot or something.
Let me say exactly what John Horn said after Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear in the ring. The exact quote from John Horn was, he jumped around like a little bitch. That's Eric Adams.
That is Eric Adams, a little bitch. You can't understand why he's sending him to New York and to get you to squeal. It highlights the hypocrisy perfectly, perfectly. Now, back to national politics. You know this guy, Greg Jarrett.
Yes.
He was on one of the Sunday shows yesterday. Greg Jarrett, he's a political analyst. He leans right. And he said this about the whole the raid, if you will, or the seizure. The seizure of the Mar-a-Lago residence down a week and a half ago at the residence of Donald Trump, the primary residence of Donald Trump. Number five, Greg Jarrett, please play it, Lou.
I think this was simply a pretext. What they really wanted to do was to get into the joint, turn it upside down, spend 10 hours there trying to find something, anything, perhaps a conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy with the January 6th rioters. The other thing that struck me about Garland is that he was pretending he was being transparent, when in fact it was just the opposite. He only asked for the public release of the warrant and the inventory list, which doesn't tell you much of anything at all. He left out and is still concealing the affidavits in support of the probable cause warrant, which would tell us the story, the justification, and the reasons for such exigent circumstances in an intrusive 10-hour warrant search of the premises.
Greg Jarrett, it was a pretext for January 6th. That's what it was, plain and simple. You know, they definitely don't have enough. National Archives is nothing. Everybody has done that. And to that point, listen to James Comey on July 5th. You remember this day well. James Comey on July 5th, essentially indicting Hillary Clinton and then unindicting Hillary Clinton. Cut 17, please.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
What? Wait a second. There's evidence that she broke the law. Evidence. But yet no reasonable prosecutor would take the case. How does that make... forget about my wife or Takapina. How does that make any sense to any layman out there? Tell me.
Well, it doesn't. That's the bottom line. You and I were scratching our heads in the studio as we watched that live then.
Oh, we were sick.
We're still scratching our heads. I mean, it made no sense whatsoever. He clearly, there's a double-tiered system of justice, one for the Republicans, one for the Democrats. Trump gets his primary residence raided, and, of course, You know, well, I was going to play something else, but that's okay. So Trump gets his primary residence raided, and, you know, Hillary Clinton doesn't, Hunter Biden doesn't, Joe Biden doesn't, James Comey doesn't, when he took home classified evidence as well and didn't want to turn it over. Here on the Bernie and Sid Show, we will speak to Rich Lowry. He'll sort all of this stuff out for us. Here on the Bernie and Sid Show, give it away, give it away, give it away now. We'll be right back.
I want to rock!
Bernie and Sid in the Morning on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You send us Lee Zeldin as governor and keep Nicole Malliotakis and Garbarino against the far leftists who are running against them. We're going to flip the House and fire Nancy Pelosi once and for all on November 8th.
John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band from the movie Eddie and the Cruisers. Eddie played brilliantly by Michael Pare, by the way. And you heard there at the very top from Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise. He said that on this show with me in the Bernie and Sid Show on Friday. Give us Lee Zeldin. Give us Nicole Malliotakis. Give us Andrew Garbarino. We'll fire Nancy Pelosi. And all those things I know are music to the ears of all of our listeners and to you, the great Bernard McGurk.
Oh, big time music to my ears. Let's hope it all comes to fruition. Yep. It's looking good. It's heading in that direction. And again, no matter who the people choose on August 23rd, we are four square behind them, despite any reservations we may have had in the past.
Right.
They are all good, very good people. They're all just great people. I mean, they will help us set this country back on track. A course correction, if you will, taking back the House. The more people we get in the House, you know, as long as it's not just some, two representative margin, we want like 23. You know, that's the kind of margin we're looking for. But yes, that's going to be the beginning of this great awakening, this great epiphany that this country is experiencing. We have to turn this ship around, even with the old imbecile still in office. We can't wait two more years.
No,
it has to start now. And as far as the Senate goes. Same thing.
It does start again Tuesday, August 23rd, a week from tomorrow, with these special elections. People like Mark Molinaro, the real Tina Forte, both will join us coming up in the next couple of days. Big weekend, by the way, for the Rosenbergs. I did mention earlier we had a big night with our good friends Tom and Cheryl Mango at Cali's on Friday. Watch Jaws sitting outside. That's Terrence Mullen's place. Then Saturday, Danielle and Ava, for the first time ever, went surfing. You know, Ava again is going to college in less than a month, and the ladies decided they're going to have a mother-daughter day, which I thought was great. So they headed over to this New York surf school, which, Lou, you know, it's 69th and the boardwalk, not far from where you live. And Frank Cullen did a great job, and Greg helped out Danielle and Ava, and they surfed. You can see the pictures on my Instagram, at Rosenberg.Sydney. Many of you have already commented some beautiful stuff. And then after that, they went from breakfast to surfing, Bernie. They came into the city, Danielle and Ava, and they took a helicopter ride around New York City. How about that?
Oh, my God. Wow. Memories, bro. Memories. That's what it's all about. Your daughter experienced them. You're experiencing them right now. This is fabulous things. I just love to hear all this, these beautiful proclamations of what you and your family, because I know the hell you were experiencing as you lived up in that communist-infested Upper West Side. I mean, it was just the pink pussy hat capital of the goddamn world. I mean, it's just was horrific for you.
Terrible.
And so, yeah, I'm very, very happy to hear all this. Really, it does make me happy. And I know your family's great. Ava, beautiful girl, very, very intelligent girl. We got to kind of keep trying to drag her back to our side.
Right.
But easier said than done.
With Gabe, we were able to do it. In fact, I had dinner with Gabe last night, pizza at La Sorrentino's, and we saw the great friend of ours, the former chief of police, Joe Esposito. He's always there having dinner with a couple. He clued me in, by the way. He may be going back to work, which is a very, very big deal for Joe, who just lost his wife a couple of months ago, was really struggling, but seems to be getting back on his feet. But Gabe's on our side, and wherever he goes now, I mean, Joe Esposito made such a big deal in the restaurant last night when Gabe was on, Bunny, with you and I a couple of weeks ago. Gabe was beaming on our 7-block walk home. But I have to tell you this. You may remember when I first moved to Rockaway, I told you a story about how we went to a place called Harbor Lights, and we met some lady outside. She said, listen, you're Sid Rosenberg. My husband is a huge fan. His name is Brendan. He's inside having dinner. Can you go say hello? So Danielle, Ava, and Gabe went to sit down to have dinner in a different room, and I walked over and said hello to this gentleman. Then I went back to Danielle, Ava, and Gabe, and when the meal was over, I asked for my check, and it turns out that that guy already paid it. And I went to say thank you when he was already gone. Do you remember that story?
I do. Yes, I do.
Well, how about this? So I tell that story. This is months ago, Bernie. And I say, by the way, Harbor Lights is right across the street from where that plane crashed in Rockaway 2 months after 9/11. And it is. The plane actually hit the three corner homes on the corner of 131 and Newport. And in those three homes, at least one person died in every home. Five people died in all. You remember that day we're on the Intrepid, me, you, and Lou. And Imus is on the phone with Tom Ridge. And I told Imus another plane down in New York, and it hit that specific corner in Rockaway. And I told that story when I told the story about the guy buying us dinner, because that place is right across the street. You remember all this, yes?
Every bit of it.
All right.
Like it was yesterday.
So I'm walking home from dinner with Gabe last night, and I see his wife, Annie. And she said, by the way, thank you very much for telling the story about me and my husband. She goes, you know, you told the story about the plane crashing into those homes in Rockaway. What you did not know is that my husband's mother and his brother were two of the people that died. I said, no, don't tell me this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She said, yes, his mother lived on the second house right off the block. And she said his brother was studying to be a lawyer and was about to take the bar, but was still really depressed after 9/11. I think they lost their father, 9/11. So he was home that day sleeping upstairs when the plane hit the house. She said, you didn't know that, and I wasn't married to him at the time, so don't feel upset. He's not, you know. But the truth, you told this story about the plane, and how ironic is it that his mother and his brother were killed in that house?
So ironic and tragic, just terrible.
Yes, but, terrible.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there were real victims. You know, it wasn't just the people on the plane. It was the residents. I mean, and what they did to entire blocks, what that plane did. And we were, of course, under the impression that it was, initially anyway, that it was another terror attack.
That's right.
So it really scared the hell out of New York City, out of the nation. And I remember going home, I could not get across the Queens Midtown Tunnel. I had to sit there in the car, put the car in park, go out to a restaurant or something, kill a few hours, and finally they opened the Midtown Tunnel. I got through, but yes, I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm sorry to hear about these people.
Yeah, nice couple, Brendan and Annie. Thank you so much. But talking about terrorist attacks, we just saw one in Israel, again, for the Bill Ritters of the world that want a two-state solution, and the Palestinians are victims. Take a look what happened this weekend when innocent people from Borough Park, Brooklyn, were shot on a bus in Israel, and it really upset people like Dov Hyken. So Dov reached out to me even before this attack in Jerusalem. He's going to come on tomorrow, Bernie, and he reached out to me because of something that Kathy Hochul said. Now, you may remember, about a month and a half ago, the Museum of Jewish Heritage, we took these people to task, and I beg New Yorkers, don't ever give the Museum of Jewish Heritage a penny. These are horrible people, and why did I do that? Because they refused to let Ron DeSantis speak. You remember all that?
Of course.
Well, it turns out that Kathy Hochul had some speech or during a press conference, she was asking New Yorkers, specifically Jewish New Yorkers, not to move to Florida to Ron DeSantis' state. You can't make this up. If you haven't heard this audio, this is Governor Kathy Hochul imploring New York, Jewish people in New York, not to move to the state of Florida. Bernie, take a listen to this.
I just want to say to the 1.77 Jews that call New York home, thank you for calling New York home. Don't go anywhere else. There's no better state. Florida's overrated. I shouldn't say this, but look at the governor. I mean, just start at the top down. Get in trouble. Got to stay on script.
Look at the governor. She couldn't hold Ron DeSantis' jock. Now, listen, there are some examples. There are some in Miami Beach. There's a lot of temples there of anti-Semitism. There have been attacks, no doubt about it. But not even close, not even close to what we have here in New York, especially in Brooklyn around that Borough Park area. So right. For her to say, stay in New York if you're Jewish, and just look at the governor, I don't care. You can talk about congestion pricing. You can talk about crime. You can talk about taxes right there in that clip. That is a lady that is so delusional that it's terrifying.
Yeah, no, it's insulting to the Jewish community, honestly, to tell them to stay here in New York where it's safer.
Yeah.
Please, give me an effing break. She, by the way, if they call for it, if the wokeards call for her to demand, a separate Palestinian state and, you know, to call for more coddling of these terrorists, she would do it because she's that type of coward.
Yes.
Ron DeSantis would never do that. Never. So there's no comparison. Don't even make that comparison, lady. She really does make me sick to my stomach. I mean, I really was reaching for a vomit, for a garbage can so I could vomit into it, listening to her while she made those comments. The real Jew haters are right here in your own state, lady, Borough Park and Brooklyn and points beyond, other parts of the city as well. But Brooklyn is ground zero for anti-Semitic attacks in the whole country, in the whole damn country.
That's right.
And the whole there were anti-Semitic attacks once again over this particular weekend. So I don't know from whence she's coming, but I wish she would go the hell back there and stay there.
Well,
and that's what Lee Zeldin is all about.
That's right. And Lee will join us again coming up at 9:05. Lee wrote a great editorial in today's New York Post on page 8, talking about Kathy Hochul gouging New Yorkers at this latest congestion pricing. He's got a lot to say. And as I teased earlier, there's a bunch of really big events for Lee coming up in August and September. One of them I'll be at with Danielle and Lee, and President Trump is going to be there, and he'll tell us more about it coming up at 9:05. Peter King just texted me. He said, Sid, Harbor Light is a great place. The owner is Bernie Durham, FDNY, lost his son on 9/11. The restaurant was destroyed, too, when the plane came down. Bernie was at the event for Paul King that you and I attended. By the way, Paul King is running against that louse Gregory Meeks. Gregory Meeks, when I see this guy on TV, he's on CNN all the time. He's a Queens guy that does absolutely nothing. He's another one of those politicians, Bernie, that I can't stand. Know this guy, Gregory Meeks?
I know him very well. He's a phony. He's an incompetent. And, we're never going to get rid of him because of the nature of the district, the nature of the electorate here in New York City.
He's black, and there's a lot of black people in that area. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah, I guess you could couch it that way, but
he's
here to stay. And he is a complete and total wokeard and a coward. He's half establishment and half wokeard. And he's afraid, just like Kathy Hochul, just like Governor Cuomo was afraid of the wokeard contingent of the Democrat Party. So those are your two choices in the Democrat Party. You're either one of them or you're afraid of them.
Right.
That's true. No, yeah. There's no other choice.
No, you're right. And with that said, even though it does seem stacked against us, you still have to vote for Paul King. He's a good man. He's got a beautiful wife, Margaret Powers. Vote for Paul King coming up in November, too. Another race that we are the underdog. But, hey, dreams are made when underdogs show up big, whether it's on a football field or on Election Day, i.e. Donald Trump. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848, thank you, 9222. Rich Lowry coming up at 7:40. Lee Zeldin coming up at 9:05. We are the number one Nielsen-rated news talk show in New York City and the self-proclaimed best talk show in America. We kick ass every morning, folks. We are Bernie and Sid.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here, and you are listening to Bernie and Sid. God help you.
On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
One, two. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, Crossfire Hurricane. That was one of the names of the operations that the corrupt James Comey and others perpetrated on Donald Trump and the American people, and on Trump supporters, I should say, more specifically, because, you know, well, they just did. And it was an awful scam, one of many, impeachment, the Mueller case hoax, all of that stuff, the Steele dossier. Just a complete and total lie. They knew it was a lie when they brought it before a judge and didn't tell the judge that, well, we don't believe any of this stuff. Honestly, we think it's spurious. It's a waste of time. We shouldn't be looking into it. They did not say that. They did not. And that's Operation Crossfire Hurricane. So good choice out of Louis. And speaking of which, the latest hoax is this, the notion that Donald Trump would take home all these documents. You know, and by the way, that he did it himself. I mean, remember, the White House was one hell of a chaotic place after January 6th. There was just like, it was just crazy, of course. January 6th, we all know exactly what went down that day with the riots. I mean, so Trump is not standing there as these documents are being packed into boxes and saying, okay, we'll take that one. Okay, we'll take that one. He wasn't doing any of that. But either way. They try to nail him on all that stuff, and it is really a disgrace. And to that end, Donald Trump released a statement on Friday night. Here is John Solomon. He is reading a statement from Donald Trump on Friday night on Hannity's show. Believe it or not, cut number six, please, Louie.
This is from President Trump's office. It just came in a few minutes ago. President Trump, in order to prepare the work the next day, often took documents, including classified documents, to the residence. He had a standing order that documents removed from the Oval Office and taken to the residence were deemed to be declassified. The power to classify and declassify documents rests solely with the President of the United States. The idea that some paper-pushing bureaucrat with classification authority delegated by the President needs to approve the declassification is absurd.
It is absurd. By the way, John Solomon makes many appearances on Katz Roundtable Katz at night at 5 o'clock in the afternoon here on 77 WABC. This guy's a great investigative reporter. But either way, there you have it. The idea, well, the whole thing was absurd. I'm not going to repeat what he said. But also, DNI Radcliffe, he was on one of the Sunday morning shows. DNI, the Department of National Intelligence chief under Trump, John Radcliffe, he said this. He compared the Trump case to the Hillary case. And this is what he said. Cut 19, Louis, cut 19.
Being grossly negligent and being careless, Jim Comey told us, that's not enough under the Espionage Act. You have to know that you're violating the law, and that he couldn't prove that Hillary Clinton knew she was violating the law, therefore she couldn't be charged.
There you go. That was his rationale, was Comey's rationale back on July 5th, but they will not give that benefit of the doubt to former President Donald Trump. I mean, he's guilty. We got to go raid this guy, this damn compound. We got to go after it. And so anyway, you had that. Also, Merrick Garland, I know you covered this extensively on Friday, but one of the more egregious comments he made, this is cut 11, Merrick Garland on Thursday about, covering, just listen to it. Merrick Garland, cut 11, go ahead.
Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor.
Without fear or favor. Does anybody in their right mind believe he's doing any of that? Of course not. Comey, Clapper, Hillary, the Bidens, you name it. None of their residences were raided. None of their people were put in shackles, dragged off planes, none. None. But when it comes to the Trump people, all those things did happen. And that shows the absolute folly, if you will, to use a half a gay word, the absolute folly of their position. And Congresswoman, Lauren Boebert.
Oh, very well.
Yeah. She said this about what was going on last week, a week and a half ago, in Trump's, was it two weeks ago today? Either way, this is what she said, August 8th, 2022, Lauren Boebert on raiding Trump's primary residence. Go ahead. Cut time.
This is Gestapo crap, and it will not stand.
Yeah. I love this.
That was
lady.
A week ago, by the way, and she's the gun-toting pride of Colorado.
Yeah, she is. And look, she's a fighter. That's the bottom line. That's what we need. We need fighters, ladies and gentlemen, fighters, because this is what it is. This is dictatorial, banana republic, Gestapo, whatever you want to call it. These are those types of tactics. And for Merrick Garland to get up there like he's some sort of morally superior a schmuck, it doesn't hold water. What you're doing is the total opposite. You're morally inferior. You're a fool. You're a liar. You're a stooge. You're an idiot. You're a coward. And you're caving to the pressure in your party to try to charge Donald Trump. You didn't have any evidence. So what did you do? You engaged in a raid. In a raid that doesn't, that certainly, it didn't warrant, this stuff did not warrant that raid. Did not warrant it. And we're going to find all that out because, as I mentioned earlier, Trump really does, he's meticulous in finding, you know, in crossing his T's, dotting his I's, all that stuff. He's very, very meticulous. Now, I played something earlier, and I wanted it to lead up to what I'm going to lead up to. This was James Comey. This is cut 17, Lou. This is James Comey again on July 5th, back in 2016, right in the heat, the middle of the campaign. Cut 17, James Comey.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
Yeah, why not? Why the hell not?
Ridiculous.
Right, exactly. But and you would think that would be the case if that was valid. That would have been the case with Merrick Garland and Christopher Fay Wray on this whole raiding of Trump's primary residence. Now, Hillary Clinton, for her part, she said all this about what she did. Why are you bringing my name up? Cut 18. Go ahead.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What difference does it make?
You broke the law.
I know. This woman is a total clown show. And you know what? I think she's gearing up for a run.
Yeah, she is.
I think she is, yeah.
We've been hearing that for so long. What are people waiting for? What are they waiting for?
Well, they're waiting for 2024. I mean, it's still a little premature at this point. But, you know, all these octogenarians looking for excuses and reasons to jump in and, make a dash for it. You know, I don't know what she's thinking, how she thinks anybody would vote for her at this point.
I got to tell you, you read the tea leaves right now, you say, who would vote for her? But when you throw Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom and these losers out there and this Cory Booker and the rest of these people, she's not insane for running, Byrne. She did win. She got a lot of votes when she lost to Trump. So based on the crew running right now, unless they've got somebody better, I don't think she's insane for running. I really don't.
All right. Well, we'll see. We shall see. But either way, listen to this mashup. This is a mashup of Comey and Hillary and a couple of their statements that they've made in the past. A cut 20, Lou. Just, you know, for laughs, play it.
Good morning. I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton. What I want to do is tell you what we're recommending. But first, let me tell you what we found. 110 emails, 52 email chains have been determined to contain classified information.
What difference at this point does it make?
8 of those chains, 36 of those chains, secret, and 8 contain confidential information.
What difference at this point does it make?
Everything I did was permitted. There was no regulation.
Secretary Clinton should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email.
None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system, not even Gmail.
But first of all, nothing was marked classified.
To the contrary.
Nothing was marked classified.
There is evidence that
nothing was marked classified.
Now let me tell you what we found.
Oh my God.
110 emails.
It was not the best choice.
52 email chains.
It was the mistake.
That were determined to contain classified information.
What difference at this point does it make?
8 of those chains were obsolete.
It wasn't the best choice.
6 of those chains.
7 was the mistake.
8 contained confidential information.
What difference at this point does it make?
With respect to our recommendation, this is going to be an unusual statement.
Yeah, that's funny, man. Yeah, that's funny, man. Hey, listen, Lee Zeldin, track these people down. Track them down and hire them for your campaign to come up with stuff, local stuff, here in New York that we can, you know, sort of exploit and get the people. Humor goes a long, long way. And that was a terrific a mashup of Comey and Hillary Clinton humor right there.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Bernard McGurk.
Unacceptable is throwing your beer can on the subway tracks.
Sid Rosenberg.
I don't believe it's a three-man race.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
News alight at 7:44 in the morning on your Monday morning. We put this time aside every Monday morning for a great guest. I mean, a great guest. Smart as they come, he's the editor of the National Review, Politico, NBC contributor. His stuff syndicated all over the country. A lot of his stuff here in the New York Post. He is Rich Lowry. He's also become a very, very good friend. And he tweeted this just moments ago, at Rich Lowry, and it reads like this. About to go on with the great and hilarious Bernie and Sid. If you don't listen to these guys, you should. And Sid's new book is available for pre-order, and he actually put the link to the Amazon page for my new book, Citizens United, which, again, means a lot to me. Here he is, and he's in the book, the great Rich Lowry. Good morning, Rich.
Of course I put the link. What kind of putz do you think I am? I've been around the block. I had to do that tweet because last night I couldn't get to sleep. I was like, what's bothering me? I know something's bothering me. My conscience is bothering me. Uh-huh. But then I realized I hadn't plugged your book yet.
So. Well, that's great, man. In fact, that you actually, and you're not lying. I know you. You're crazy. You were definitely thinking about that last night. You were, and you came up big for me this morning. I really appreciate that, Rich. Thank you so much. That's a big deal. All right, well, everybody's talked about this. Again, thank you. The big raid at Mar-a-Lago last week. Me and Bernie have talked about it. Now we've heard from Merrick Garland. What are your thoughts nearly a week later after this ridiculous raid down in Mar-a-Lago?
Well, it's a little, we're back to Russia collusion territory again, where everyone's jumping to conclusions. You know, if you watch the Sunday shows yesterday, it's you know, the just question is Trump going to be in the federal pen for 5 years or 10 years? You know, and you know, I'm always willing to change my mind based on facts. So the whole Russia thing, I was like, I don't think he colluded with Russia, or you know, it was a Russian agent. But if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. And here, you know, if he had a blueprint for a hypersonic missile in a sock drawer, okay, maybe you need to go get it. But it just seems unlikely to me there's anything's going to emerge that's going to justify taking this step. But I really fear Merrick Garland is dead set on indicting him, not necessarily for this, but for January 6th. And it's going to make the reaction to this seem like a tiny campfire. I mean, it's going to literally set half the country on fire.
I agree, but he is dead set. There's no question about it. And all this was one big operation to legitimize, in my opinion, January 6th. But just because he's dead set on doing it doesn't mean the evidence is there. And you know, right, they had this ridiculous dog and pony show. They had good ratings one night. I get it. Brian Stelter told us about it. But to be honest, it was a waste of time. So he may be dead set, but they were dead set with Robert Mueller. They were dead set on impeachment. They were dead set on Russia. Being dead set, as we found out, Rich, just not enough.
Yeah, and on January 6th, my colleague Andy McCarthy, this has been his take from the beginning, that this search was not about these documents, so-called classified documents. Some of them were classified. It doesn't mean, you know, that they were listed as spies or anything. But about January 6th, because it's awfully weird if you have Trump's lawyer Eastman raided, if you have Trump's this DOJ guy Trump was working with, Jeffrey Clark, raided. Right after this, you have a member of Congress raided, you know, his phone taken. And all in the midst of these January 6th-related searches, you have this totally unrelated search, just coincidentally, in Mar-a-Lago. It's hard to believe. And there's this subsection in the warrant that says you can take anything. You know, a lot of the warrants like, oh, if this is classified, you can take it. But there's this one provision that says anything, any record generated the 4 years that Trump was president, you can take. So that suggests that that's what's going on. There it's a fishing expedition in the widest possible parameters.
Yeah, one that's backfiring. Rich Lowry on the Bernie and Sid Show. Just as an aside before I forget, Sid, I don't think you can refer during your sportscast to Daniel Vogelback as the fat kid.
Can't
on
say
the
that. You really can't say that.
Right? I don't think they're doing that on WFAN.
Probably. That's why we're number one and they're not.
You know what? Good point. Good point, Sidney. All right, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Hey, listen. Cut nine, Lou. Listen to this. Cut nine. I want Rich Lowry to hear this and to react to it. Cut nine. This is the Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, a Trump hater. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. Please play it, Lou.
It was actually a win for Donald Trump. It seemed to motivate his base and people rushing to his defense and feeling as if he was being picked upon and martyred.
So there you have it. It's a win for Donald Trump, says Larry Hogan, who I'm sure it pained very much to say that. What do you think? Right? Don't you think? What do you think?
Clearly. Go ahead, Rich. I mean, obviously, there's no question about it. I mean, we've talked to in the last few months, you know, maybe Trump's grip is slipping, a little bit, maybe indetectably. DeSantis crawling up in some of these national polls. I think that this blows that all away. It just makes Trump again the center of attention. It reminds people of why they hate his enemies, and it just bonds his supporters to him again. So, if this was meant to make Trump go away, it did the absolute opposite. And there have been some strange bedfellows denouncing this thing. George Will, you know, hasn't written anything nice about Donald Trump, maybe ever, said this is a mistake.
Right.
Andrew Cuomo, out of the box, is a, hey, wait a minute. You know, there better be a really good justification for this. So I think most rational people, one, they know how the politics are playing out. Two, that they're, at the very least, made really nervous by this raid.
You didn't just categorize George Will and Andrew Cuomo as rational people. I know that they but on a serious note, rational people, those independents, I guess, Rich, and we talked to Bill O'Reilly about this quite often, and you're right there with them. Folks that may not have made up their minds yet, right? They kind of like Trump, but he tweets and he da-da-da, but they're aware that Biden's a mess. Now they see this, another hoax. You've been through seven of them already with Donald Trump. Do you think those people will come around and actually vote for a guy like Trump in 2024?
I just think the politics, it helps him in the primary. It makes it more likely he'll win. You know, maybe marginally so as this everything wears off, you know, over time. But it definitely helps Trump. And then in the general, I'm not sure, because I think for a lot of people, it just reminds them of all the drama and all the chaos.
Yes, no question about it. Rich Lowry here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Now, by the way, did I mention he was a Republican governor, this Larry Hogan, Trump hater? But I would like to move on, if I may, Rich, because you focus mostly, for the large part, on national issues. And this really is a national story, the fact that cases of polio have turned up here in New York State and New York City. And, of course, we had Dr. Siegel's comments last week that it seems to be due to the fact that they don't get the proper vaccine down in Mexico, and so that you got people coming up here, bringing up all kinds of exotic diseases. Another reason why this is such a horrible, horrible idea, a fentanyl aside, you know, rapist aside, whatever. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a disaster to have an open border. I mean, it's almost definitional. And the polio thing, you know, my late mother died a year or two ago. You know, was born in the 30s and had to move out of her neighborhood in near New Haven because a kid got polio. You know, that's like 90 years ago, and you don't want to go back to anything like that situation. And you know, my attitude is these migrants, most of them, they're just desperate people, and my heart goes out to them. Once they're here, you got to treat them humanely, in my view. But they shouldn't be coming in the first place. And when they show up, you should treat them humanely. Make sure they get three solid meals. Make sure, you know, they're in held in decent conditions. And then you got to send them back, because we have a country. If we want to let people in, we got to do it deliberately. It's a matter of policy choice. It just can't be they come here and violate our laws and exploit loopholes that we've created stupidly down on our border. But it should stop. And you could at least drastically diminish it instantly. But Joe Biden has no interest.
Zero interest is right. I'm not sure what Joe is interested in these days. He's vacationing in South Carolina. He's doing very, very well for himself. hey, I want to ask you about, because you're a big sports fan, Djokovic. The U.S. Open is about to take place here. It's a big deal. Serena Williams is going to say goodbye to all of those rabid tennis fans, and it's going to be a huge event. I heard prices have tripled in one day because of Serena's impending retirement. But the best men's player in the world, Djokovic, can't play, because we do not allow unvaccinated people to come to our events in this country and play these things. I don't understand it. What are your thoughts on this? It's ridiculous.
It makes zero sense. It reflects the wrong conventional wisdom, you know, a year ago or whatever it was, that if you're not vaccinated, you're a threat to all the vaccinated people. Whereas if you're not vaccinated, you have underlying conditions, you're a threat to yourself. But you're not going to kill all these people around you. This is still the policy, though, in New York. Toronto, you know, Canada is also an issue. Benintendi on the Yankees, this left fielder they traded for, I believe, is still not vaccinated. He hasn't been able to travel to Toronto to play. So it's insane, and it's a policy that never should be implemented, and it's totally indefensible now.
So, Rich Lowry, we have tomorrow, we have a couple of primaries. It's Tuesday, so there's got to be a couple. One of them is Wyoming. I believe the other Alaska? I'm not sure. Okay, so we have Wyoming and Liz Cheney.
Were you asking me? It sounded like you were asking someone in the studio.
No, my apologies. Is it Alaska
I'm not sure.
Tomorrow? Okay, so tomorrow, definitely Wyoming at the very least. And Liz Cheney, of course, all expectations is she's going to be bounced and trounced and definitively booted from she's going to lose the primary, so she's not going to be a candidate unless she takes some sort of third party candidacy. But so what are your thoughts on Liz Cheney and what she did in January 6th and the fact that she's about to lose her seat in the Congress because of what she did on that committee?
Well, she'll be lucky, I think, to get 25% in that primary. I'd kind of be surprised if she gets above 25%. She's been on a one-way path to a CNN contract for a very long time. She made her choice, you know, and I respect it. I do think it was out of principle, and she was just appalled by everything that happened. I don't think, you know, the way she's been involved in running this committee has been a great thing, but she just made her choice. She was basically done with electoral politics, and there'll be an exclamation point put on that tomorrow night.
A tremendous appearance by Rich Lowry with an amazing tweet to preview the appearance and promoting my book, Citizens United. Hey, yo, Rich, thank you so much. You're a treat on Monday mornings. Thank you so much.
Have a great week.
You too, buddy. The great Rich Lowry. Go retweet his tweet at Rich Lowry about how great it is to be on with Bernie and Sid, because we're the best, we're hilarious, and of course, he promoted the book. Still to come later on this morning, 9:05, Republican candidate for governor Lee Zeldin. Everybody wants him to win. He was a talk of the day in D.C. on Friday. We'll get to all of that. Lydia reports and beat Bernie. All that still to come on this epic Monday edition of the number one Nielsen-rated news talk show in New York City and the best show across the country. We are Bernie and Sid.
Started out this morning feeling so full. I always thought of Michigan, not because it didn't fight. But you got some beta waiting, and I think I might like heaven in a little afternoon delight. Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
I want to rock!
Bernie and Sid in the morning. On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere, folks, on that 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. This was Mariano Rivera's theme song coming into bat. I mean, to pitch. Am I correct?
You are correct. The great number 42. Yes.
Now, have you seen the Edwin Diaz?
Yes.
Yes. How great is that?
Great. Peter King wants to use Edwin Diaz's entrance when he comes on with you and I now on Wednesdays. He actually told me that. By the way, statistically...
He texted both of us.
By the way, statistically, Edwin Diaz got to his save number before... I'm not comparing Edwin Diaz to Rivera. Rivera's the greatest pitcher of all time. I mean, the guy 100% into the Hall of Fame. But Edwin Diaz has become lights out again. He was great in Seattle. Mets got him and that second baseman who's long gone, and he wasn't all that great, and now he is really lights out. I mean, he's amazing.
He is, but his last outing, he came in, was it Saturday night or Sunday night? He came in, and he did not acquit himself so well, although he got out of the inning, and he closed the game, and he saved the Mets that night.
That was Saturday, I think, the DeGrom start. Yesterday, they won 6-0, yeah.
Yeah, so he did. So, in other words, that type of thing puts a lot of pressure on you. I mean, he comes out to these mariachi horns, and once you do that, you have to perform. You leave no room for error, although he did have some error, but you really leave no room for error. So I applaud him on his balls, if nothing else. And it's eminently entertaining as well. I mean, this is what the New York Mets, this is why I say, folks, if you're hesitating, get on board. It's time. I mean, this is the year. These guys are cocky. They're fun. And, the Mets are going not only into the playoffs, but going all the way to the World Series. And we'll see what happens then.
The Dodgers still have the best record in baseball. They got to beat them first. But this is 35 games over 500. First time, Bernard, since 2006. First time in 16 years the Mets have played this well. Up to this point, and like you said, if you want to jump on, do it now, because the next 4 days, it could be all over. If they do well in Atlanta the next 4 days, and right now they've got a 5.5-game lead, so if they take 3 out of 4 from Atlanta, and they're up 7.5 on Friday, it may be just about over. So jump in tonight, and the next 4 days in Atlanta, Mets and Braves, big baseball.
Big baseball, and if, you know, the home series against Atlanta is any indication, they'll do well. They will do well. Now, listen, something horrible happened over the weekend. It's local news. And, you know, local news, we're live and local is what we are. We cover everything. But this was particularly heinous and heartbreaking when you see there was a taxi driver, a yellow taxi driver, medallion, CAC license, all that stuff. Not one of these, you know, gypsy cabs that you know, went out of their way to pick up some slimy customers because they're that desperate for a buck. This guy picked up five young black kids, and he took them to where they wanted to go, which is Far Rockaway. And what happened was they tried to beat the fare. He gets out of the car to chase them down. So they stop and they beat the crap out of him. They steal his money, and then they beat the crap out of him some more. And at the second crap beating episode, he falls to the ground, hits his head on the concrete, and he dies. He dies. This is a Channel 5, Fox 5 NYC report on that very incident. And I can guarantee you that some of these people, that they haven't caught them yet, are out on no cash bail or whatever, some lenient. You know that's the case. But either way, here it is, Channel 5's report, because it hits home. It hits home, and it's powerful on the death of this taxi driver over the weekend. Take it. This is cut number 28, Lou. Go ahead.
It hits close to home. I've spoken to close friends of the family. One of the gentlemen who was shot is named Shia Hirsch Glick. He was very brave. He bent down over his family to protect them. He was shot in the neck, and they had him on a respirator. But it looks like his condition is improving.
No,
his
this is wrong.
Okay, okay. Now play cut 27.
But that was Israeli shooting, right? Borough Park people, yeah.
Which we will get to as well. But now play cut 27 on the shooting of the cab driver over the weekend. Not the shooting of the Palestinians of the Jews, the one that got the cab driver killed. Please play it.
It was a good man. It was my backbone. I'm lost right now.
Grieving widow devastated after her husband was beaten to death. 52-year-old Kutan Jaima was a taxi cab driver and a father of four young children. Police say early Saturday morning, Jaima was dropping off five passengers along Beach 54th Street in Far Rockaway. Investigators say the passengers didn't pay their fare and tried to rob him. That's when police say Jaima chased them and was hit in the back of the head, fell to the ground, lost consciousness, and later died at the hospital.
These are four children that are going to grow up with no father. And I'm angry because this could have all been avoided.
Sunday morning, members of the New York Federation of Taxi Drivers called for justice in this heinous attack. His colleagues remembering him as kind and a hard-working man.
This was a gentleman who never stopped driving. During the worst days of the pandemic, when the city absolutely shut down, this gentleman drove his cab.
And Big Apple Taxi is offering a $15,000 reward for any information that leads to an arrest.
So there you have it. Any information that leads to arrest, they're going to get caught because, you know, these mutts, $15,000, it's hardly enough money for a reward for information. But it'll get some of these low lives out there, and they'll turn on each other. So we'll see what happens there. But the guy, if you looked at some of the pictures, four beautiful daughters, and, you know, you heard the wife crying there. It was really, really heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. Which is why when I drove a cab, man, I just didn't pick these people up. I mean, they were like, "Hey, go to 754 Mulford Drive," and you know, and then they would come out of the building. You'd see like four or five kids, and I put the car, put it in drive. In fact, I kept it in drive, and then I just took off. Bye bye, because I've been robbed and I've been hit over the head, stitches, everything, many many times, guns pulled on me while I was driving a taxi. And it wasn't because I was bigoted. It was because I was afraid. And that's why I didn't pick them up. But either way, that is a sad, sad commentary on the state of our city right now, and the state of our country, that you have such callous disregard for life amongst a certain demographic of young people. I don't know who's raising them or what's going on at home, but something has to change, man. It's got to be deeper than just changing the no-cash bail laws. This crap starts earlier in the home, and it's usually one-parent families, no dad, et cetera, et cetera. We've been through it before, but it needs to be, we need to go through it again because it's horrible. Now, listen, let's play that to Schmuck Schumer and the shooting of the Jews in Jerusalem by the Palestinians. Play that clip now, Lou.
It hits close to home. I've spoken to close friends of the family. One of the gentlemen who was shot is named Shia Hirsch Glick. He was very brave. He bent down over his family to protect them. He was shot in the neck, and they had him on a respirator, but it looks like his condition is improving. His son was shot in the arm.
Yeah, so another horrific story out there in Israel.
So the worst guy to deliver that is Schumer, just the worst.
I'm sure, Sid, this is what he does. He goes out on Sundays,
yep,
and he has to, you know, he was going to talk. Listen to this. His stated issue was talking about the spotted lantern fly.
Mm-hmm.
That was his stated issue, mm-hmm, but this happened mm-hmm just before that, and somebody asked him a question about it. I am sure he did not want to address that issue whatsoever.
I mean, please. Joe Pinion was in studio on Friday, and of course, he's running against Chuck Schumer. He's another one of those guys, right? We talk about Will Tina Forte. We talk about Mark Molinaro. We talk about Garbarino, all these folks that have to win. And it would just be a godsend if Pinion can beat Schumer. Again, a huge, huge underdog. But, I mean, Schumer is just the worst person. Dolph Hyken is coming on tomorrow to talk about the Kathy Hochul comments about comparing herself to Ron DeSantis and how New Yorkers, Jewish people, should stay in New York, not move to Florida. I'm sure Hyken will have something to say about Chuck Schumer talking about the shooting in Israel, because Dove is there all the time. I'm not sure when Chuck is there, but Dove is there all the time.
No, he's not there. He doesn't care, really doesn't care. He's a lowlife, an opportunist, a dirtbag, and for him to be opining on it, it's just it's kind of sickening. He's the guy, he's the Democrat Jew who's all for the Iran deal. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going on, why people like him would support stuff like that. But there you have it. There you have it. Schmuck Schumer making a fool out of himself. Now back to the raid on Donald Trump's primary residence down in Mar-a-Lago. The former education secretary, Bill Bennett, this is what he said about the FBI, well, essentially delegitimizing itself. Cut three, please, Lou.
The larger picture, very quickly, is a crisis of legitimacy in this country. The liberals, the progressives, feel that Donald Trump is not a legitimate person, not a legitimate candidate, wasn't a legitimate president, and his followers, not much better. Conservatives, on the other hand, believe that by the actions of this government, it has delegitimized itself. The FBI is not what the FBI should be.
No, we have to disband it, come up with a new agency once we take back both chambers of Congress, because with just one chamber, it ain't enough, folks. You got to get out there and vote, man. You want to make a change here, especially, well, across the nation, but also in New York State. And look, speaking of slimy, scuzzy, if there's anybody worse than Chuck Schumer, it's Adam Schiff. And this is what he said yesterday morning on one of the dopey, biased, corrupt Sunday morning shows. I can't believe I'm playing this, but just take a listen to it. It is cut number one. Go ahead, Lou.
Some of those documents were marked top secret, sensitive compartmented information. That is among the highest designation in terms of the extremely grave damage to national security that could be done if it were disclosed.
Yeah, damage to national security? I don't think so. Just lying. This is a guy who went on Sunday morning shows for 4 years and said that he had solid evidence that Trump colluded with Russia. And there he sits, and they're all sitting around rubbing their chins, listening to Adam Schiff as he opines, as he drops profundities on us in a big way. Ooh, Adam, that's really deep what you said there. I gotta digest that one. So another a piece of garbage, a liar, a phony, a fraud. This guy, Adam Schiff, he should be in jail himself. Out to never, never land. You know, we have the Lou Dobbs report coming up, ladies and gentlemen. If you keep it where it is, don't go away. Lydia Serrani as well. We're coming right back.
This is
is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
From CBS News attributing childhood obesity to climate change. Yes, they actually put out a report saying that kids are fat in the United States because of climate change. To now Boston Children's Hospital's latest so-called treatments. Parents need to be worried. So Boston Children's Hospital, it specializes in gender-affirming care for kids, meaning they give kids hormones. And then when the kid reaches the ripe old age of 18, they can, under insurance-funded surgery, get genital mutilation. The Children's Hospital released several ads recently touting how kids as young as toddlers know that they're born in different bodies. So they're actually bragging about this stuff. Take a listen.
So most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty. But a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb. And they will usually express their gender identity as very young children. Some as soon as they can talk, they might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early. So in the GEMS clinic, we see a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3, and usually up to the ages of 9.
So, I mean, a kid who learns how to talk, if they say I'm a boy, I'm a girl. My daughter tells me, like, she's different things all the time. Sometimes she tells me she's her mercat. Like, it's a mermaid / cat. I'm mercat. I'm the mommy. You know, all these different things. And so Boston Children's Hospital, I cannot believe. So just up until recently, they said that if you were 17, you could get the surgery. But now they changed it after uproar. Now it says you have to be 18 or over, which what makes a difference for 1 year. And Boston Children's Hospital should be worried because it could go the way of a trans kids clinic in the UK, which is now shut down because it's being sued for millions and millions of dollars by thousands of parents for what the doctors did to their kids there, citing malpractice. So I don't even understand like how this is happening in the United States, and Medicare and Medicaid pay for this, and parents are sending their kids to this hospital and they're bragging about it with commercials.
Yeah, it's really it's unbelievable is what it is. It's lunacy. That's the 2022. We're living in the land of lunacy, the time of lunacy, and it's all we have to change it. I mean, we will look back on this time as one of insanity and sort of laugh and chuckle and be embarrassed. Well, actually, they'll be embarrassed about what they were, you know, sort of trying to perpetuate on this and in this country. Sad state of affairs. And, of course, the only thing we can do is vote. That's it, right here, right now. And we have to purge these schools, the educational system, of these woke-tard teachers. We have to put cameras in the classroom and make sure that these teachers are not trying to brainwash our kids with this crap. We have to actually do it and mean it. We have to be deadly serious about it. So I don't know if that's going to happen. But, that's my solution right there. Cameras in the classroom and starting to arrest some of these groomers.
Well, I mean, these are doctors. I thought doctors took the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. So the fact that they're harming these children, giving them these hormones that could eventually give them cancer, never mind their fertility, and mutilate them once they turn 18. Because if you're taking the hormones for a long time, then, yeah, you start believing, oh, yeah, maybe I should cut off my penis. Maybe I should invert it into a vagina or get a – I mean, these things happen when you take the hormones. This is, like, really, really scary stuff. I went to a birthday party for kids this weekend for my daughter's friend, and they live in like kind of well-to-do area. And the parents were telling me, because I mean, I live in a nice school district, but the school district they belong to, it's like per house, it's like $40,000 minimum, you know, property taxes. So obviously the higher property taxes, the nicer the school is. But one mom was telling me, she's like, I pulled my kid out of the middle school there because they just were so woke. And I put the kid in Catholic school because like my kid's coming home with like BLM stuff, hates me because I support Trump or this or that. And I'm like, where are you getting this stuff from? Now I put my kid in Catholic school where they don't talk about politics, and my kid likes me again. And I know Sid also kind of experienced the same thing. And I've had some other friends that have experienced the same thing, where all of a sudden their kid comes home and thinks you're the devil because you don't go along. Your politics don't align with what the teacher says.
No, I went through that, yes, with both children now, through hard work. I've got Gabe thinking completely the other way. Gabe is right now with me and Bernie. Ava is much better than she was. She was a big Trump supporter. Then she was into all this woke stuff. And now, even though she still believes in most of it, she does not bring it home. And her and I have had this great renaissance period together. She's about to go to college. But to your point, Lydia, yes, the New York school system tried really hard to ruin both of my children. They didn't win when it comes to me, but they win in a lot of households, a lot.
They do if the parents aren't involved, and that's the key, and that's what we were kind of all talking about. If you hear about these incidents, like the 14-year-old that was shot in the lobby in the Bronx recently, who did the cops arrest? Another 14-year-old kid. I'm not saying that has to do with wokeism, but it has to do with parents not being involved in their kids' lives. And that's like the real root problem for what we're seeing all throughout the city. I saw that like 90% of car accidents that we're seeing throughout the country are by young males. They're out of control. There is no consequences for any of their actions at home.
You could say black young males. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I mean,
that?
These are kids. No, you're I mean, these are people from the inner. I know.
Oh, is it true?
It's true. Yeah.
If you can't say it, is it true? It is true, but you just can't say it. Okay, I just need to know the rules. All right, then I withdraw the comment. I take it back.
I know you never said that. We'll talk about this and so many other things that we feel strongly about on the John Katzmatidis Cats at Night show. 5 o'clock tonight. You don't want to miss it, where we actually stand for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yes, Lydia Serrano, great report right here on the Bernie and Sid show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Is a blue shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere.
It's a beautiful day. Oh, I got it wrong. Back here on the Bernie and Sid show, heard everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, on that 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And download that app, folks. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. What a great lineup on this show. Not just the Bernie and Sid show, of course, but I mean everything. You name it. You got Kilmeade. You got Kelly. You got Bill O'Reilly. You got Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. For God's sakes, he doesn't pull any punches. And then, all kinds of good, great programming. John Katzmatidis at 5, Mark Levin at 6. Download that app. That's all I'm saying to you folks. Look, it's been a year now since the withdrawal, a year since the withdrawal in Afghanistan, the hurry, the rush. The unbelievably incompetent withdrawal that was just unnecessary, totally unnecessary. Plenty of time to do things the right way. The biggest mistake, of course, evacuating from the Kabul airport as opposed to Bagram. And we should have maintained the presence. When we saw that the Taliban was making such gains, we should have locked that, doubled down on our staying for a little bit longer. We really should have. And at the very least, kept Bagram Air Base, because now you actually have Chinese engineers at Bagram. They're casing the joint, casing the mineral-rich land of Afghanistan. And they're going to get all the fruits of that is going to go to China, all of it. The Afghanistan, those idiots don't know minerals from squat. They don't know. They're too stupid. They're too crazy. They're such zealots. But either way, we lost 13 beautiful young Americans because of the incompetence of Joe Biden. That will be one of the biggest stains on his administration for years and years to come, forever, forever. This was a national policy blunder that rivals no other. Maybe the invasion of Iraq, maybe. But either way, it was awful, and Joe Biden bears the responsibility. So you have that, and we were talking about earlier about whether or not it was tomorrow they have two primaries in this country, and one of them is Wyoming, the other is Alaska. Wyoming, you're going to have one female politician. She's going to get her ass whooped. It's going to get whooped. It's going to get spanked, whooped, and raked over the coals. She's done, this dizzy Lizzie Cheney. She's done, and with good reason. I mean, for her to turn all woke and crazy like she has. But, you know, whether or not, I don't know if she, look, she's still pro-life. I don't know how she can be embraced. Once these Democrats get done with using her, she really is just a complete and total useful idiot at this point to the Democrats. They're going to throw her aside like, you know, an old banana peel. They're going to throw her aside because of what she is. So Liz Cheney will go by the wayside. I don't know what future she has. Maybe. I don't even know. I mean, the left hates her. The right hates her. And it's all because of Trump, President Trump, calling out her daddy for the invasion of Iraq. For, you know, I mean, in no uncertain terms, he called out the Bushes and the Cheneys, and they hated it. They hated it. It was, and that's why you see Dick Cheney making these commercials, and that's why she defends daddy, all that stuff. And also the Alaska primary. Well, they were talking about it on one of the panels yesterday morning, and they said this about Sarah Palin. A lot of polls show her doing well, in fact, winning. And this is what they said on, I believe it was a Fox News panel on Sarah Palin, whether or not it's celebrity status or her Trump endorsement that is propelling her in these particular polls. And anyway, this is what they come up with. Cut 36, please, though.
Oh, 36, B.
Yeah. No, it's not 36. Yeah, the Fox News panel on Sarah Palin, it would be 35, 36, no? No,
I got it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sarah Palin's been keeping a low profile, shall we say, ahead of Tuesday, only doing a couple of public events. Is she counting on her Trump endorsement and maybe her celebrity to carry her across the finish line, or is she really kind of banking on her campaign fizzling out?
Well, I think she has universal name recognition. People from Alaska and across the country know who Sarah Palin is. If Alaska had not gone to ranked choice voting, she might very well be in a position to win this special election on Tuesday. But now, unless she can get a majority of the vote, it goes into another round. And that gives the prospect that that hardcore of support that she has from Alaska will not be enough to get her over the finish line. We'll see if there's a second act in American politics for Sarah Palin.
Essentially is what she said, but I predict she wins the primary. And look, when she gets to Congress, she will, compared to Marjorie Taylor Greene, the likes of Lauren Boebert, she will seem pretty tame, I think. I don't know. I don't know where her head is at or how fiery she plans to be, but she's great. She was, the rock star that gave that hour-long acceptance speech during the 2008 campaign when she was selected by McCain to be her vice presidential running mate. And, I mean, that took such nerve, such poise under such pressure did she display at that point. And then, of course, she was Donald Trump. Politically, she was Donald Trump before Donald Trump was Donald Trump. I mean, they never relented. They went after her viciously because, of course, just like a black conservative, a female conservative is almost as horrifying to these Democrats as anything else. And they went after her and they savaged her. And so I hope she wins and exacts some sort of retribution on these people. I really do. Listen, also, just before I move on to the raid, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, it turns out the FBI said over the weekend, the FBI said that He could not have fired that gun without pulling the trigger. A bullet could not have come out of that gun without the trigger being pulled. So the FBI essentially calling Alec Baldwin a liar when he said this back in December. This was cut 30, Lou, please. Alec Baldwin.
I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
You let go of the hammer and the gun. Well, that sounds sort of like pulling on the, well, some sort of trigger, some sort of trigger mechanism. But look, this guy may do time in jail. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't even know if they've charged him criminally yet. But after the FBI's report, they certainly have some ammunition. And one more thing. Anne Heche died over the weekend. Anne Heche, they waited until they, until they had a sufficient donor match with an organ for somebody before they announced the fact that she's now officially dead. Anne Heche died. She would have been charged with all kinds of crimes. She would have been miserable because she was, she was burned horrifically. And what she did was unacceptable, obviously, riding through the neighborhood, jacked up on whatever it was, blow and liquor and vodka in the passenger, whatever it is, the where you keep the drinks in the middle. What do you call that thing, Lou? Come on.
The cup holder.
The cup holder, you son of a bitch. And is Sid back yet?
That is negative. He is dealing with something. I don't know what it is yet.
Oh, some important, very important issue. No question about it. What could be more important than this 8:40 segment? I really just don't realize. I mean, I just I don't know. But anyway, back to the raid. Back to the raid. You have this guy after, I believe it was one day after the raid, this congressman, I believe he's from Ohio. His name is Scott Perry. His phone was seized while he was on vacation with his family. They came to his hotel room, knocked on the door early in the morning. The FBI did and said, yeah, no knock warrant? No. In this case, they gave him a knock, and they said, you got to give me your phone. And he was like, what? Why? Don't worry about it. Give me your phone. We're the FBI. This is what he said about that yesterday, cut number 13.
It feels awful. They're using these tactics to intimidate people, coerce people. Anybody that doesn't bend the knee, that isn't intimidated, that isn't parroting the narrative is now subject to these kind of third world banana republic tactics politically. And that's what you're seeing is this horrific overuse, abuse of the DOJ and the instruments of federal power.
It really is. And as I pointed out to Rich Lowry, the governor of Maryland, and this is cut number 9, the governor of Maryland, Republican governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan. This is what he said about the whole raid incident. Cut number 9, please, Lou.
It was actually a win for Donald Trump. It seemed to motivate his base and people rushing to his defense and feeling as if he was being picked upon and martyred.
People hate Donald Trump, and they still realize what a win for them this was, for the Trump supporters this raid was. How much they overused the government. Government overreach is what you call it. And this other guy, Cash Patel. A lot of you have seen Cash Patel out there. He's very smooth. He's very tough. He's like an Indian guy, Indian-American guy, and he's great. I love this guy. He said this about Trump's ability to declassify documents. Cut 34, please.
President Trump named me his representative to the National Archives months ago, and we've been in a bureaucratic battle. We found whole sets of documents we needed out to the American public from Russiagate. We got out about 60%. That's why President Trump made it his mission to declassify and be transparent. In October of 2020, he issued a sweeping declassification order for every Russiagate document and every single Hillary Clinton document. Then on the way out of the White House, he issued further declassification orders, declassifying whole sets of documents. And this is a key fact that most Americans are missing. President Trump, as the sitting president, is a unilateral authority for declassification. He can literally stand over a set of documents and say, these are now declassified. And that is done with definitive action immediately.
Not really hard to argue with. Not hard at all. That's what he did. That's what he could do. And that's why this whole exercise was a Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, blunder is what it was, because they cannot defend this. When all this gets shaken out in Congress during the hearings in November, after November, after we retake the House, we're going to come to see all this. And we see it now. I mean, anybody with half a brain sees it now, just as they saw back early on with Russia collusion, that was a joke and a mistake. And, hookers peeing on a bed in Moscow. And Trump is like, yeah, do it. Obama slept there. Go do it. Like that was in any way, shape or form believable. And then you had this guy, Greg Jarrett, and he's a Fox News analyst. He summed up the raid this way. Cut number four, please.
What struck me about Merrick Garland is that he unwittingly undermined his own argument for an intrusive search warrant. He stood there in front of cameras and he said, it's our standard practice to use the least intrusive method. Well, that's a subpoena. And in fact, the DOJ and the FBI gave Trump a subpoena in early June. He complied fully with it, giving them what they wanted. So if they wanted additional documents, all they had to do was hand him another subpoena. They didn't do that. They undertook a raid.
So it was totally unnecessary. The subpoena would have sufficed, especially in light of the fact that Trump had the ability, as Cash Patel said, to declassify these documents. Now, Greg Jarrett went on, and he said what a lot of us have been thinking, that it was a complete and total pretext. That the National Archives documents nonsense, that had really nothing to do with it. It was all to help out Merrick Garland, the DOJ, the FBI, into trying to charge Donald Trump with some sort of crime so that he cannot run in 2024, because as we've seen in all the polls, he is extremely popular. This is cut number five, Greg Jarrett, once again, hit it, Lou.
I think this was simply a pretext. What they really wanted to do was to get into the joint, turn it upside down, spend 10 hours there trying to find something, anything, perhaps a conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy with the January 6th rioters. The other thing that struck me about Garland is that he was pretending he was being transparent, when in fact it was just the opposite. He only asked for the public release of the warrant and the inventory list, which doesn't tell you much of anything at all. He left out and is still concealing the affidavits in support of the probable cause warrant, which would tell us the story, the justification, and the reasons for such exigent circumstances in an intrusive 10-hour warrant search of the premises.
There you have it. It was a pretext and for January 6th. They knew it all along. It was a Hail Mary shot. But maybe they'll find something. Who knows? I doubt it. Trump is one of the most ethical people when it comes to policy matters. He crosses his T's, dots his I's, and he does it all the time. And one last clip on this is because we love this lady, Lauren Boebert. She's the congresswoman from Colorado. And she said this about the whole raid. Cut number 10, please, Lou.
This is Gestapo crap, and it will not stand.
You hear that? That's what a fighter says. That's what a fighter comes out swinging and says. And that's what it is, Gestapo crap. And that's why we're so pissed off at what these mutts did. And speaking of mutts, you have one more thing here. Is Kathy Hochul was talking about. They found cases. They were rummaging through sewer water, which is what they normally do just to see what's in it. See how many people are taking Valium, antidepressants. They can do it, and they do it. And over the weekend, or sometime last week, they found cases of, they found the polio virus in the sewage. The polio virus, which we thought we had eradicated decades ago. But it's back. Now, why is it back? That's a good question. But this is what the dummy, Kathy Hochul, the unelected dummy, a governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, said about the polio vaccine in Brooklyn and the Hudson Valley. Cut 25, Lou.
There is a presence in the New York City wastewater. This is something we're monitoring closely. We're working closely at the federal, local, and state level, all engaged hands-on. And we want to make sure that we take all the steps we can at this time and sound the alarm right now to New Yorkers. Be sure that your vaccines have occurred. Be sure they're updated. And that's our best defense against the spread of polio.
Yeah, but what about the cause, lady, huh? What about the cause? It's no secret. It really isn't a secret as to where it's coming from. But they want to keep it on the DL for political reasons because they don't want to be politically. Here is Dr. Mark Siegel last week on the John Katzmatidis Cats at Night show at 5 o'clock on 77 WABC. Dr. Mark Siegel talking about, well, the origins of polio here in New York.
Take it. How about polio? Listen to this. You know that polio is actually a national security problem? You know why? Because this polio outbreak in Rockland County came from a live virus vaccine, and I'm wondering how it got here because Mexico, for example, gives that live virus vaccine out still, and for several weeks afterwards, you shed the virus. Wonder if it came that way. You know, and what's interesting about that is back in the old days, 1903, when my grandfather came here, you know what happened then? We actually used to check people and hold them up and do tests. Did they have TB? Did they have this? Did they have that? Now people just waltz across the border. Travelers come here unchecked. You never know what people are bringing in, right?
Right. Exactly right, Dr. Siegel. And Kathy Hochul, she's got the blinders on. She's a loser. She doesn't have the interests of the New York constituents, the people who live in New York. And she's a coward. Here on the Bernie and Sid Show, we're going to speak to Lee Zeldin next, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it right where it is.
In the maze of imagination, the love is down.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
I wanna rock!
Bernie and Sid in the morning on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Not a great morning here in Bernie and Sid for Kathy Hochul. I mean, congestion pricing, which Lee Zeldin wrote a great editorial about today on page 8 of the New York Post. I mean, a great job by Lee. Dove Hyken coming on tomorrow to crush her for telling New York Jews not to run to Florida because she's a better governor than Ron DeSantis. I mean, she's just completely out of touch. And then coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon, a big press conference here in New York City. Lee Zeldin, another friend of ours, Nicole Malliotakis, and they'll be addressing all of the migrants, the illegals, mind you, that Texas and that genius Governor Abbott is shipping here to Eric Adams, that idiot, to New York City. So a lot going on, but here's what we do know. If you want to save this state, you got to vote for Lee Zeldin. It's, I mean, come on. We know already all the issues. With that said, again, 1 o'clock press conference today with Nicole Malliotakis. Here he is, dear, dear friend, and the choice for governor come November, the great Lee Zeldin. Lee, Sid, Bernie, how are you, pal?
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. Before we get into the meat of the conversation, the great Steve Scalise, the hero, he was here on Friday with me out of the state of Louisiana, and we had a great conversation talking to him. He brought you up a couple of times. We made a bet about the Giants and the Saints, by the way, Lee. And then you told me on Saturday that you were in D.C. on Friday, and Scalise walked up to you unprovoked and mentioned the radio appearance, right?
Oh, that's right. So we were on the floor of the House of Representatives on Friday, and Steve walks up to me, and he was talking all about his appearance that morning on Bernie and Sid. It was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. He was great that morning. We had him on and Jim Jordan out of Ohio, two great Republicans. And, of course, that leads us to you, Lee, and you got a big press conference coming up later on this afternoon. Now, I said last week that it's going to sound rough to New Yorkers, but I actually like what Abbott is doing. I mean, Eric Adams is one of the reasons why this country is being inundated with illegals. He needs to understand for himself when it's his own city, if it's his own city, maybe he'll care more. So talk about the press conference coming up later on today.
Here in New York, we have these sanctuary state, sanctuary city policies that reward and incentivize illegal entry into our country. You have these border states and border towns that don't know what else to do. They're getting overrun. It's a full-blown crisis at our border. Now, the solutions are obvious. If they put Bernie, Sid, Lee in charge of our federal government for a minute, it's very easy to know to figure out what needs to get done to fix this. In my opinion, we should finish construction of the border wall. We should end catch and release. We should enforce the Remain in Mexico policy. We should support our Customs and Border Patrol agents. We should, you know, instead of rewarding and incentivizing illegal entry, we should be sending a strong message to people thinking about coming not to do it. So now you have these policies coming out of places like New York State and New York City that encourage people to come here, and they get rewarded for it coming here illegally. You have hardworking New Yorkers who are struggling to make ends meet. They're paying a lot in taxes. You keep seeing new ways the government tries to put their hands in our pockets. You just pointed out the congestion pricing push. You have the 24/7 speed cameras now. They're always trying to find new ways to put our hands in our pockets. Why? To try to fund their far-left priorities. So I don't hear Kathy Hochul saying anything about the flights that are coming in over the course of many months from the Biden administration. And now all of a sudden they want to go after Governor Abbott, who doesn't know what else he can possibly do here to fight off what is a full-blown crisis. I believe that we need people like our governor and our mayor and others from across the country to be increasing the heat on the Biden administration to actually lead and to shut this down at the border. Our nation's backbone is our rule of law. And right now, from what we're seeing in our border to what was just executed and down at Mar-a-Lago, is an erosion of our rule of law and erosion of our backbone.
No question about it. Lee Zeldin on the Bernie and Sid Show. I saw Lee Zeldin yesterday. The buses pulled up, the illegals got off, and just like with Eric Adams, when he greeted them like some low-level community organizer, they were actually yesterday shaking hands. The delegate was there from the Adams office, shaking hands, rewarding and handing an envelope to these illegals that, I don't know, contained Mets tickets, hotel room tickets. I don't know what they're giving them, but treating them like they're heroes. Far from treating them like the illegals that they are, treating them like heroes. And then you have this, and this is something that should shake a lot of Americans to their core, New Yorkers especially, because it's only in New York now, but the emergence of the polio virus here in New York. Now, Dr. Siegel from Fox News said last week on John Katzmatidis' show that this emergence now of the polio virus is a result of illegals coming in. They're not properly vaccinated. For some reason, it enables them to spread the polio virus itself. I think that's a huge issue, and that would actually resonate when you're talking about the health of not only individuals, but the health of the individual's kids. What do you think?
Right. And when the Biden administration was looking to end the Title 42, the first place that this country was declaring the health emergency for COVID over was on our border. And you also have to be consistent. So if you have a problem with these buses arriving, how do you not have a problem with all these flights that are showing up into our airport?
Yep.
Is it because the buses, you believe you could blame a red state governor? And if you have an issue with the planes, then you are increasing heat on the president of the United States, the person of your own party. The average New Yorker, they see it for what it is. And to the point about that on the health front is that you do have people who are coming on their own set of rules across the board. They don't care what our law enforcement thinks. They don't care what our laws on the books require. The right way, if somebody wants to come to our country, is to figure out what the rules are. You apply. There are plenty of people who are in line right now, and that's the reason why they're not here. the people who are coming illegally are saying, I don't care what your rules are. I don't care what your rule of law is. I don't care what your border policy is. I'm just going to come my own way. The trip up is dangerous. And this isn't just about people coming illegally, but they're coming across with fentanyl and other drugs and other types of trafficking. It's also about things coming illegally into our country as well. It's a full-blown crisis. And I don't see, with one party Democratic rule in D.C., Albany, and New York City, I don't see anyone looking to take any accountability at any of those levels where anyone's saying that they are responsible for anything. And that's the worst part of it.
Yeah, you mentioned all three of them, Biden, Hochul, and Eric Adams. This is Lee Zeldin, Republican candidate for governor, the only man that can save our state at this point. Again, running for governor in November. He's got a big press conference coming up this afternoon in the city, 1 o'clock with Nicole Malliotakis, talking about the migrants. And we got some big events. You do, I should say. Fundraisers coming up over the next couple of months, Lee, before the election. One with President Trump that I'll be at. One with his son and Kimberly Guilfoyle, one with Ron DeSantis. What I'm saying is there's a lot of the big stars in the Republican community now, the big leaders that are rallying around you. And whether it's Republican Party, independents here in New York City, or even some Democrats that are really unhappy with Kathy Hochul, it does seem like, Lee, with some of these big events and these big names coming up, and I'll be at two of those with you, that New York is coming around and collectively in your corner.
And it doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent. If you want our street to be secure, if you want to back our men and women in blue, improve the quality of education, defend freedom. Just yesterday, over the weekend, actually, Kathy Hochul signed off on another extension of her COVID emergency powers. If you care about just struggling to afford to survive here, maybe you're in your car right now driving into New York City thinking about this new congestion pricing proposal, I believe that this whole thing needs to be shut down. My pledge is to do absolutely everything in my power to stop it. But meanwhile, up in Albany, they have so many far left priorities to spend money our state doesn't have. They're just going to continue to try to find new ways to take money out of your bank account. So if you feel like your wallet, your safety, your freedom, the quality of your kids' education are under attack, then it doesn't matter whether you're left, center, right, whether you're registered to one party or another. We're New Yorkers. This is about saving our state. This is a rescue mission to save New York, and we cannot give Kathy Hochul four more years and one-party rule and outsized power of self-described socialists. They are destroying the state, and there will be a lot more damage done if they get free reign for longer. This is our opportunity, November 8th, to stop it.
Indeed. Congressman Lee Zeldin on the Bernie and Sid Show, running for governor of the state of New York. And, Congressman, just another example over the weekend here, a poor African immigrant driving a taxi. I believe he's a citizen of the United States at this point, but he was murdered in Far Rockaway by five young teenagers from the inner city. They took his cab, and then he tried to chase him down after they tried to beat the fare. Then they beat the crap out of him. I guarantee that at least one of these kids, probably if not all five, have some sort of recidivism rap against them, or were released on no cash bail. Just one thing after another. Another example to highlight. Because this particular cab driver, he was married with four beautiful kids, and it really just a sad event. And again, if this doesn't resonate with the people of New York, I don't think anything will.
More and more, we are waking up on Monday mornings, and we are reading about stabbings and beatings and shootings and more happening on our streets. And it's going to keep happening more and more if we don't do something about it. We need laws that are on the books that are turning our streets back over to law-abiding citizens. We should repeal cashless bail. We should, you're pointing out there was this law called Raise the Age that changed some of the rules, the laws that relate to those who are not 18 just yet, but they're committing some serious offenses over and over again. We need to roll back the discovery law changes that were made. We have to repeal the HALT Act. This was something that went to effect April 1st. Our corrections officers are getting assaulted a lot more now since April 1st inside of prisons. We need to remove DAs like Alvin Bragg, who refused to enforce the law. I pledged that I would make this my first act the first day I'm in office. And we also have some lax judges, too, by the way. When we heard about the Goldman Sachs employee who got shot in Staten Island in the subway, that was somebody who was released by a lax Brooklyn judge. In that case, the prosecutor did ask for bail. A couple weeks ago, we heard about the Times Square slasher.
Yep.
Well, that was somebody who was released because of a lax Queens judge, who, in that case, the prosecutors asked for bail. There's so much that we can be doing to back our men and women in blue, protect qualified immunity, make sure that our streets belong to law enforcement and law-abiding citizens, not criminals. But the pro-criminal Democrats who right now run Albany feel like we haven't gone far enough. They have more ideas on how to make this worse if given the opportunity.
So I got to ask you, we know the pathway to victory, Lee. We've had these conversations, you and I and Bernie. And you know where you're going to do well, Long Island, parts of upstate New York. I know you're going to spend a lot of time in places like Rochester and Binghamton. But I think the number, Lee, is 29%. If you get 29% of the city, you will be the next governor. And after you know this, Lee, I lived in the city for the last 6 years, right? 2 years down by Wall Street, 4 years on the Upper West Side. These people, Lee, are animals. They are animals. They see a D and they go for it no matter what. How do you convince about one-third of New York City to vote for you?
If we get less than 29% of the vote in New York City, I don't know how we win.
Right.
If we get more than 35% in New York City, I don't know how we lose. That's the range that we're working on here. Now, for example, yesterday in New York City, I was at the Dominican Day Parade in Manhattan, and the feedback was awesome along the side of the route. Good. They're talking to me about Jose Alba and Bragg and anti-Hochul. They are informed. They're energized. We are going to win the Hispanic vote in November. I've seen it just the last week or so. I was in Chinatown with the Asian American community, Sunset Park in Brooklyn. They care about crime. There's raw, violent, anti-Asian hate. They care about the quality of education in our schools. We are, worst case scenario, going to come close to winning the Asian American vote. In the last week, for example, I've been in the campaign for over 16 months. The last week, I was down in Brighton Beach in Brooklyn. I was in Kew Garden Hills in Flushing, all talking to the Jewish community. They're seeing violent anti-Semitic attacks, anti-Semitism inside of CUNY. They care about safety on our streets. Hochul's education department up in Albany right now is going after yeshiva education. And the Jewish community is infuriated by it, as they should, and I oppose this substantial equivalency push going after yeshiva education. Will do better with them. I was at the Jamaican Jerk Fest just over a week ago, and I was at NYPD National Night Out in Southeast Queens, and I've been spending a lot of time with the Black community, and I believe that we're going to do better with them, and they care about school choice and having a higher quality education in our schools, and of course, the need to improve economic opportunity, and they want to feel safe on our streets too, the people I'm talking to. We also have to, on top of this, do very well in the more conservative pockets of New York City, from Staten Island to Middle Village to Bay Ridge and Brighton Beach and elsewhere. I believe that we have a great path to get over 29% of the vote. The most important thing is to show up. And for everybody out there listening, if you want to help, have conversations with everybody you know. Get them engaged and let people know they don't just have a right to vote. They have a duty to vote. They have an obligation to vote. And if there's some Democrat out there who's always voted Democrat, if you are concerned about the direction of this city, this state, this country, you don't have to keep voting Democrat. And if Democrats are taking you for granted, don't let them. I'm here to show up in person to earn your support, to fight and work with you to get this done.
All right.
Very well said, Lee Zeldin, I must say. Very, very. Any events that you care to talk about or promote coming up today or in the next few days?
Well, we have that press conference coming up today at 1 o'clock. I'll be with Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis. We're going to be getting the word out here on the the illegal immigrants who are coming into the state and what needs to get done to stop this entry into the country. You know, as Sid pointed out, we have a number of great fundraisers that are coming up, where we have, you know, everyone from the president to Governor DeSantis and others headlining this event to put together the resources we need to get our message out.
Hey, Lee, stop right there. The greatest name of all at these events coming up is Lawrence Taylor.
Well, I thought you would say Sid Rosenberg.
Yeah, I'm second to LT.
The second best one. Now, listen, I am 42. I was born in 1980. I started watching football when I was six. I started watching baseball when I was six. I rolled right into a World Series win and a Super Bowl win.
Nice.
I got spoiled out of the gate. And Lawrence Taylor was a beast out there on the field. One of the very best of the best football players that we'll ever see in the sport. We have at the event, Sid, that you're coming to on August 24th, we have former Giants, former Mets, Yankees, Rangers. It's gonna be pretty cool. And
awesome.
Rosenberg will be there too.
Yes, I will be there. You're damn right. I'll be at two events coming up. I'm very excited about both of them. And listen, of course, Bernie and I both love you, Lee. You have nobody rooting harder for you than us two. So keep coming back. Keep up the message. Good luck with Nicole later on today. You are the man to save this state. You're going to win come November because, as you always say, Lee Zeldin, losing is not an option.
Yes, sir. No way. We got to get this done. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Lee. Thank you very much. There he is, folks, the Republican candidate for governor, the great congressman out of Shirley, Long Island, doing all the right things, doing a terrific job. The great Lee Zeldin right here on Bernie and Sid. When you need a contestant for Beat Bernie, comes up at 9:40. Your chance at cash and prizes, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Bernie and Sid, roll on a Monday.
On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Did Joe. Getting heard everywhere in that 77 WABC app. You know what, Sid? I think Lee Zeldin has found his stride. I really do. He sounds comfortable, confident, and ready to kick some hiney.
No, I agree with you. And again, talking about some of those events, Wednesday the 24th, he mentioned all the Jet Giant and those players, but Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, a bunch of Ray Kelly. Ray Kelly is actually going to speak that night along with me and Kimberly and Donald Trump Jr. He's got one with the president, which I'll be at, President Trump, coming up right after Labor Day, right before Labor Day, I should say.
Nice.
So now he's got the big guns. Ron DeSantis is coming here to do an event, a fundraiser for Lee Zeldin, also in between the last week of August and Labor Day. So he's got three or four huge fundraisers coming up. He's got the biggest names in the Republican Party. Again, Trump, DeSantis, the kids, all these folks. He's got locals. He's got guys like Ray Kelly and athletes. And he is hitting his stride. And, you know, again, whether it's Donald Trump trying to get back to the White House or Lee trying to get to Albany, these Democrat politicians are making their job easier every day. Every day, people like Joe Biden, Kathy Hochul and Eric Adams make Trump and Zeldin's job even easier.
Just the sheer incompetence, the buffoonery of both aforementioned politicians and many others. Biden and Hochul being the perfect example, exhibits A and B. And Speaking of which, Sarah Palin is, you know, the primary is tomorrow in Alaska. And what do you think? You think she wins?
Yes.
Think she, yeah.
Yeah, easily.
Hands down, right?
Yeah, hands down. Yeah, yeah. In fact, maybe we'll get her on Wednesday or Thursday after she does win. But, you know, she's going to win. She had somebody do some nasty stuff to her last week. I don't know if you know this, but somebody put some pornography up on her when she was doing something, some Zoom or something. I didn't read the whole story, but, you know, she continues to get knocked down as she did when she was John McCain's choice for vice president. But she doesn't care. She keeps coming back stronger. Trump loves her. We know that. They were together 2 weeks ago in Alaska. Yeah. So she's going to win and win big tomorrow and make her way towards Washington, D.C.
I like what I hear. I mean, that's what we need, more Sarah Palins in Congress. The Boberts, the Greens, and the rest of these, you know, these fighters. We need fighters. We don't need these timid rhinos. We need fighters down in Washington, D.C., in the House and the Senate. And listen, back to some local politics. Just over the weekend, Eric Adams, he made a statement. Over the weekend, he was in front of the cameras, and he decided once again to attack Governor Abbott, Cut 23.
Why has he targeted New York City? We have done nothing to Texas. Why has he turned this into a political statement instead of a personal statement with people who are seeking assistance?
What? It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make any damn sense what he just said. Why is he making a political statement as opposed to a personal statement? What the hell does that mean? Look, he's... obviously, Governor Abbott doing the right thing because he's got these people squealing like stuck pigs. None other than David Patterson said this on Katz's Morning Roundtable yesterday at 8 o'clock on 77 WABC. David Patterson on Governor Abbott, Cut 32. Please, Lou.
The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has come up with, I think, is one of the most brilliant political strategies I've heard in a long time. Now, I'm a Democrat. And there are a lot of things I don't like about what he's really doing. However, sometimes you have to tip your cap to your opponent. And in this case, his sending hundreds of aliens who come into the country by bus to New York City, which is a sanctuary city, has really paid dividends to him politically. In addition, it put New York's mayor, Eric Adams, in the position where he can't say he won't accept the immigrants, because that would be going against what has been the policy most Democrats have about immigration in the first place. But also, if he sends the immigrants back to Texas, he is, in a sense, going against his own attempt to get the federal government to help pay for the fact that they're here. So I don't think that Mayor Adams is being hurt in this process at all, but I think nationally it's an amazing way to focus people on the whole immigration process.
Yeah, I happen to think he's being hurt somewhat by all these illegals coming up. Just the fact that he says, I don't want them here.
Right.
That goes contrary to what he said in the past.
Well, to his beliefs, actually. But for what it's worth, for a Democrat to say even part of what David Patterson said has gotten John Katzenmatidis, WABC, Katz at Night, in the New York Post, all over Fox Business this morning with Maria Bartiromo, and all over Fox News this morning. So congratulations to John Katzenmatidis and Governor Patterson for making big, big news right here on WABC on a Sunday morning.
As often they do, all the heavy hitters on Mr. Katz's show on Sunday mornings and on Katz at Night, Dr. Mark Siegel, this polio stuff, is directly related to the open border. I mean, so anyway, yes, congrats to Mr. Katz.
Oh, my God!
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Oh, that was brilliant right there. Mike Francesa, Oh My God, before Beat Bernie. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and Fearless Boilers. Today's contestant is out of Port Jeff. I like it there. He's a retired NYPD sergeant. It's amazing how many cops and former cops listen and love this show. I get stopped in the street every day. His name is Thomas. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for your service. How long have you been retired?
I retired right after the riots in 2020.
Was that the reason why? Was that the riots?
No, I had 22 and a half years on. Gotcha. I had enough.
So what do you do now? Just fishing or?
I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, enjoying my freedom.
Nice.
I work here and there.
What, you like the you watch the Mets every night, or are you a Yankee fan?
Yankees, we're not doing that great right now, but hopefully get a little fire set on them, see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, the good news is they got up such an amazing start that no one's going to catch them. That's a horrible division. But against teams like Houston and these other clubs, doesn't look very good right now. But, again, it's only August. Well, Tom, good luck to you. Here is question number one. Who was the first United States president to have been divorced? Divorced, was it A, Dwight D. Eisenhower, B, Ronald Reagan, or C, James K. Polk?
Reagan.
That's right. That's right, before Nancy came along. Oh, I love this place. I was there many, many, many times. Look at question number two. Built, I used to live right down the block. Built as a New York City home early in the century, it later became a tavern where George Washington said farewell to his officers. And Thomas Jefferson was there, too, being that you're Tom from Port Jeff. What place?
Francis Tavern.
That's right. Francis Tavern, right there by, I used to live on Hanover Square, right there. Silent Night.
I enjoyed a cold beer there once.
Oh, you did? Okay, it's a great place. They have a nice little museum upstairs. It's really great. Actually, there was an explosion there, too. The guy that they invited to sit on a float at the Puerto Rican Day Parade years ago set off a bomb in that place and killed a local cop. It was terrible. That was Meredith Vivarito who wanted to do that, I guess, whatever the hell name was. Silent Night, written by what three-named woman, is a Christmas suspense novel? What's the lady's name?
I don't know. Pass.
Wrong,
you
two. Like
you remember her and her daughter, right, Lewis?
I do indeed.
Mary Higgins
Hello.
Clark.
Oh, that's
yes.
Wrong one.
And what was her daughter's name? She was cute.
Carol.
Very good. What is the nickname of the deeply religious area of the South and Midwest United States?
Bible Belt.
Yep, that's exactly right. Playing well. Number five, from 1965 to 1968, what two siblings served in the United States Senate at the same exact time?
Ted Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Look at you. That is an excellent job. 4 out of 5. Played really well, Tom. Putting all the pressure on Bernie. We call it Beat Bernie because it's so difficult to do. And Bernie has gone 5 for 5 on many an occasion, and he must do it again today to win today's game. So there it is. A lot of pressure, Bernie. You got to go 5 for 5 to win.
I don't like this.
I know.
But I'll deal with it, though.
You'll deal with it. And my prediction is you're going to get 5 out of 5. But we'll see. Who was the first United States?
That's even
more pressure,
that's
I know.
Even more pressure. Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. Who was the
that's
first good. United States president to have been divorced? Was it A, Dwight D. Eisenhower, B, Ronald Reagan, or C, James K. Polk?
I would have to go with... I'd have to go with Eisenhower.
Wow, you're not going to win. No, it was Reagan before Nancy. He got divorced.
Wow. You know, well, of course, Eisenhower had the infamous affair, and I thought maybe.
All right.
But I was wrong.
All right, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. If you get the next 4 right, you play to a tie today. If you slip up on any of these 4, then Tom and Port Jeff will win today's game. Bill
it's about time somebody else won.
Yeah, I know. You've been red hot, man. Built, you like the Mets, Bernie. Built as a New York City home early in the century, it later became a tavern, well, as you know, I've been to many times, Bernie, where George Washington said farewell to his officers.
That would be Francis Tavern.
Very good. Silent Night, written by what three-named woman, is a Christmas suspense novel?
Silent Night. It would be... I'll tell you who it was. Yep. It was, take it easy. It was,
come on, running out of time. Sorry.
It was our friend.
Yeah, you exactly. You met her and her daughter was on IMUS, weren't they? Weren't
right,
they both?
Right, what the hell?
Her name is Mary Higgins Clark.
Mary Higgins Clark.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah,
you
know, I know
that's
you know.
Totally, that's blank. That's totally blanking out.
Yeah. Number 4, what is the nickname of the deeply religious area of the South and Midwest United States?
The Bible Belt.
Correct. From 1965 to 1968, what two siblings served in the United States Senate at the same time?
The years again, quickly?
65 to 68.
Two siblings?
Yeah, same
well,
time.
It wasn't the Kennedys. I would have to go with... I'd have to go with, who am I going to go with? I would have to go with, I don't know, the Rockefeller.
No, Brown, you actually had it right the first time. It was, in fact, the Kennedys, Robert and Ted.
Yeah, you know what? It makes sense now. Yep.
All right, final score today, 4-2. Thomas in Port Jefferson, a retired NYPD sergeant, played really, really well today and got himself cash, prizes, and most importantly, a win over Bernard. Bernie, say hello to Thomas.
Thomas, congratulations, man. Job well done.
Thank you. I beat you in my car all the time, but it feels good to beat you for real. I love you guys, though. I listen every morning.
Well, we love you, Thomas. We thank you for your service. And so it must be frustrating when you're listening and you're like, oh, he's knocking out of the park these easy questions that I could easily have handled. And now you got your comeuppance. I got my comeuppance, I should say.
I can't believe you didn't get the Kennedys, though. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a tie.
Well, you heard me. I just screwed it all up. I'm thinking John and Robert, and I never thought of Ted. How stupid. How freaking stupid. But, yeah, Robert, of course, senator from New York. Ted, senator from Massachusetts. I know all these things, but I didn't put two and two together, and I lost the contest.
Hey, it was good competition, buddy. Good competition. The best.
Good competition, and I love your humility as well, Tom. Listen, you're a great guy. By the way, Port Jefferson, a beautiful place out there. You're loving life out there in Port Jeff?
Oh, it's great. No complaints. I don't got to drive 60 miles to work every day. I drive 5 minutes everywhere I got to go.
Oh, so you're a law enforcement right there in Port Jeff?
No, I was a city sergeant. And I used to commute from here to there every day.
Oh, I see. Okay. Which is not a bad deal. Not a bad deal whatsoever. All right. Listen, Tom, we appreciate it once more. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. And you know what? Call back. I got to do this. I need a rematch with you. And then maybe we can get to a
Is there
a
like
rematch.
Parameters that I have to wait a month or a year? What do I have to do?
No, not that I know of. No, I don't think so. I think you should call back tomorrow.
The guy asked me on the phone if I ever played before. So what am I going to tell him next time?
Yeah, you know what? You are law enforcement, but come on, you guys. You know, you screw around a little bit sometimes. So just lie. Come on, Tom. You know the deal. Listen,
right,
whatever. We'll see. If they do say
I'm
that to you.
Steve next time.
Steve, yes, indeed. Steve from... I don't know, Comac or something like that. Yeah. All right, Tom, listen, thanks, man. Thanks for playing. Thanks for your service. And we'll do it again soon, hopefully. And we're out of time here for this segment. Coming back soon with the rest of the Bernie and Sid Show. Keep it where it is, folks.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
We're doing it live!
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here, and you are listening to Bernie and Sid. God help you.
On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you.
So you mentioned what's my friend in Alaska, Sarah Palin, and tomorrow, of course, is her race. I mean, I told you this, Bernie, but she sent me a text last week and she said, "You got to go see the Elvis movie." And my wife Danielle, my beautiful wife Danielle, is a huge Elvis fan. I'm really not, you know. I like a lot of his songs, but I'm not a huge Elvis fan. She is. And I said to Sarah, I said, fine. You know, Sarah was like freaking out over it. So we bought it yesterday, Danielle and I, and we watched it. And I would say the first hour, I was bored to death. I know Tom Hanks did a great job as the colonel. But the first hour, to me, was really boring. When he gets to Vegas and he has that residency, the first ever at the International Hotel, and you really come to find how really the colonel screwed him. It was like Don King and Mike Tyson. And then, of course, he eventually dies, like he does in real life. And Priscilla, of course, plays a nice little role there, the girl who plays her. I thought the last hour was pretty damn good. First hour, kind of boring. Last hour, really good. overall worth the watch for the $25. But anybody who tells you it's a great movie, I think they're nuts.
Okay, what made The Last Hour good? Was it the performances? Was it the music?
Yes. I mean, the kid Austin Butler, you talk about having all the Elvis moves down, and I got to tell you, you really, if you never watched Elvis, he was something else. I mean, nobody moved like that. You know, Michael Jackson went on to become a great dancer, obviously, but this kid Austin Butler, I mean, down every move, in other words, run video of Elvis and Butler side by side, you wouldn't know the difference. It didn't look like him for the most part for the movie. He really didn't. But his moves were incredible. The music was great. And like I said, you really come to see how badly Elvis got screwed. I mean, Elvis died. I think he was worth $5 million. He should have been worth about $50 million. But this guy, this colonel that Tom Hanks played, he really screwed him over. The story is the colonel had horrible gambling debts. Horrible. And he owed, like, every casino in Vegas money. So all the deals that he made for Elvis was basically to get him out of his gambling problems. And after Elvis fired him and died, obviously, the colonel used to just walk around as an old man to all the casinos in Vegas and wasted away his whole fortune.
Too bad. Really sad, you know, a performer like him. And I don't know. He was. I agree. I agree that he was one of the, you know, top 10 performers of all time.
Oh, my God, for
the
sure.
Dancing, the singing.
Listen, he was there before the Beatles and the Stones and all of them.
And even still, he had his own. Again, you throw in dancing and singing at the same time.
Amazing.
I mean, that's just an exponential level of greatness.
Agreed.
You know, among people who can do it.
Now, before anyone did anything, Elvis did it all. We just talked about it. August 16th, 1977. WABC's George Michael went on the air to give a tribute to Elvis to honor the king of rock and roll on the day of his death. Music Radio 77, WABC, and the Archive present a tribute to Elvis. How about this? With WABC audio and exclusive commentary, a Music Radio online exclusive. Tuesday, go to WABCradio.com/Elvis and take a listen to the great Elvis Presley. Bernie, great job today. Great, 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 great job. We'll do it again tomorrow.
We'll do it again tomorrow. All the love. And, 24 hours. Let's see, 20 hours from now. Right. We'll kick it off again, bro.
All right. I love you, too. Hope you know the Met when we get back on the air tomorrow. Lou Ruffino, amazing job. Justin Ellick, you too. Frankie Diaz with an E. Rocco. Jacqueline Carl, Deb Valentine, everybody. Back again tomorrow morning at 6. Enjoy a Monday in New York City. From all of us to all of you.